May 22, 2015. The time is 11:08 a.m. The location, Anchorage LIO Conference Room. Members present are Representative Wilson, Guerra, Kawasaki, Sadler, Representative Guttenberg, Gaddis, Edgman, Hewitt, Lenius, Co-Chair Thompson, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Newman. Yeah, it's taken in. Eddie's. come back, bring it into the room. Okay, we'll try and make sure staff are working, make sure the LIOs are online and offense are online. Staff can be working on that. So let's start in the room. We're going to start up with Dawn Linton Warren, followed by Mary Schellert. Well, I would like to testify. I see no. Mary Schellert. Come on up, Mary. Followed by Pat Higgins. And welcome, Representative Keto. Please name and any affiliation that you have for the record.
Pull that center mic over a little buzzer so it's recording gets picked up.
And if we could have 2 minutes on that for anybody. Thank you, Ms. Schellert.
My name is Mary Schellert. I was educated my first 6 years in a private Catholic education. My parents told all 11 of us out of public, out of the Catholic school into public education, either in Apollo 3. In the new public school, my first real science class was one of the most difficult classes I ever took. And I couldn't understand why there were still teachers who looked around me. Through public education, I went on to receive a Bachelor of Science in nursing. I worked 12 years as a mental health nurse for Anchorage Community Mental Health. I am a BC Teacher of Excellence from 2013. I am currently the orchestra teacher at the Anchorage Walbert School. I'm a private violin teacher. I volunteered for the Highland Mountain Prison Orchestra for 8 years. I am a mother of two sons that had an education through Alaska Public Schools. I know the importance of funding public education. I am fully aware that more money is poured into the jail system over schools and that somehow our mentality is to fix it rather than to prevent it. Any well-educated, trained, registered nurse knows prevention is more important and less costly than fixing it down the road. Prevention, funding public schools, prevention is funding Medicaid, and prevention is paying very good attention to Aaron's Law, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schellert. Pat Higgins, followed by Elise Skelton. And any written testimony certainly is welcome. The fax number to send in written testimony is area code 907-269-0229. Again, 907-269-0229 if you want to fax in any written testimony. Or you can email testimony to either my office, Representative Newman, or Representative Steve Thompson's office, and we'll make sure it gets to the committee members.
Thank you. My name is Pat Higgins. I'm a member of the Anchorage School Board. I'm not here speaking on behalf of the entire board, but as an individual member. The funding for education is, of course, a topic of great concern and the request of keeping the promise that you've heard in the community. Right now, I'd like to discuss just a couple of issues impacting us. The fact that we've got such a delay in the funding of knowing where we are is impacting us in other ways that's going to carry forward in the future. Our ability to recruit teachers and teachers throughout the state is being impacted. Every day that's in the paper says we're going to be cutting funding, who knows how much money we're going to have in the future, is impacting our ability to recruit applicants throughout the entire state. Other areas in the districts in the lower 48 are recruiting and filling positions at this time. And applicants who are looking at taking a position not knowing whether or not they're going to have employment this year or next year to accept an offer impact us. We're trying to hire special education teachers. We're trying to hire highly qualified individuals. It's going to impact education, not this issue, but your decisions and delays are going to impact us in the future. We've looked towards the issue of having some sort of expectations on funding. We got that last year. We were told what to expect, and now we're being asked to pull back, and we're going further than that. We're being told, yes, what we're going to be doing. That's a very difficult position to run the school district. Now, we ran very conservative this year. We were able to do some stuff with some high school graduation, high school summer school. We're going to have thousands of kids doing that, and hopefully that's going to impact and bring up our graduation scores. But we've got some low-performing schools, and we've got some academic achievement gaps that we're trying to get focused on, and we can't even look at where we're going to put those resources in the future, because we are totally unknown what the funding is going to be. We've asked for forward funding, where we're going to go. There are so many things on the table that needs to be looked at from an educational standpoint, but we're in limbo. We can't go out and put the resources in any school and redirect them with any certainty at this point in time. We've been very conservative. We've tried to keep our reserves high so that we can handle the flux. But I appreciate your attention and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Thank you for your work on the school board. Elise Galvin, followed by Lonnie.
Good morning. My name is Elise Galvin, and I am part of Great Alaska Schools, a statewide organization made up of grassroots parents and community members who care about quality education for all children. We look for adequate, predictable funding for education because we see that as being one of the pieces that is important for every child in Alaska. Also, another one of our goals is to better engage families and community members to get to the ultimate goal of every child being ready for life. And so right now I'm speaking to those of you who are in favor of these cuts, who are comfortable with these cuts. And by that I mean the $32 million along with the BSA cuts that are happening as it stands right now. For those of you with the mind, I figure you have one of three minds. One is you think there's no money. I heard you think we can't make money, we can't print money. I get that. But I also get that there are funds right now to cover what we value. I certainly have seen us covering things like bridges, roads, and other things. So I encourage you to really know what you value when you say you have no money. Number two, another framework that you might have in your head is that you think your constituents want these cuts. And I will share with you that in Alaska, I know that there have been studies that say two-thirds, the 2015 Hays study says that two-thirds of Alaskans actually do support the public education piece of what the government offers. So I want to encourage you to think about that. The third mindset that you might have is that you're not happy with what public education is offering right now. I'm going to tell you this. I agree that we can get better, and we're working on it. We're watching districts and encouraging other districts to do it. But the 3,000-plus members of our group have a hard time focusing on that piece of engaging families and engaging folks to get better when we are spending so much of our time and effort making sure that we don't cut off our arms and legs of education. So in summary, I would like you to think about all three of those mindsets. These are for those of you who are supporting these cuts, and I would like you to gather your strength and your courage and dig deep into what you really value and say you value during your campaigns and go for this. Thank go you. For supporting the public education. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. And again, I want to make sure that we are cognizant that there is other people waiting online, there is people waiting off net to testify to, and we want to make sure everybody has ample opportunities. So if we can hold over 2 minutes as close as we can, we really appreciate that. Anna, followed by Angel Gonzalez.
Hello. My name is Ani Uncle. I'm 21. I'm representing Facing Foster Care in Alaska. It's an organization just of children who are or were in foster care. And I'm speaking for the House Bill for 2001. And our main request is that a focus would be on obtaining more social workers on the budget. So just a little bit of my story. I was placed in foster care at 12. I had 3 placements in 2 years, and I was put with a permanent family who adopted me at 17. I am currently finishing my 3rd year in a bachelor's degree, so I can apply for ultrasound school, and I work part-time as an EMT. My story with the foster care system has a very encouraging ending. My adoptive parents' commitment to me and their efforts to get me care and support have been a huge factor in my success, because if it hadn't been for them, especially for my mom, I wouldn't be where I am today. That said, My social workers were the ones that helped me into this home, and they also helped me into the two good homes that were previous to my adoptive home. I had at least 5 different social workers during the time I was in care. I was in care for 4 years. And I had different social workers because I moved or they moved or they had to take another case. However, my case is relatively simple because it was obviously egregious to return me to my biological parents. It was a very, you know, simple not going back, and I didn't want to go back. So the main goal is simply finding a home. And my social worker worked very hard in helping me get to a relative's home, which eventually didn't work out, but then she helped me come back to my original home, which is very rare that children would be able to be in the same set of people for so long. Soon after, I joined my youngest brother in another foster family, and after that, my social workers would come by sporadically to check on me. They're supposed to check on me or check on their kids once a month, but obviously they weren't able to do that with me, and I'm sure they rarely are able to do that. So in conclusion, my story is a success story, and that is because I do have social workers who, even though they weren't there consistently, in time, they were there over time. They were always there, if that makes sense. But the average caseload is 20 kids for social workers in Alaska, and the maximum supposed requirement is 12 kids. So I was one of the 12 that got it. Please, as a social worker, for the ones
that
don't.
Thank you. And if people are testifying, have written testimony, and they would like to have us print that out and distribute it so that we've got it for the record. Just get it to staff and we'll make sure that we do that. Angel Gonzalez, followed by Gary Luz.
Good morning and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Angel Gonzalez. I'm 26 years old and a member of Dayton Foster Care in Alaska. I was in and out of care from the age of 5 until I was adopted at 16 and have been in over 20 placements along with countless social workers. I've achieved permanency with my forever home, my forever family. I'm in contact with one or both of my adoptive parents on a daily basis, and I'm now married with 6 beautiful stepchildren. Today I wear many hats in my church and work for the Fostering Teachers Initiative, training volunteer CASAs to be mentors for our youth who are aging out of the foster care system. It's imperative that our state have more social workers. Our workers go into this field ready and willing to help our children in need. These children who are next generation, who will grow into adults and become either contributing positive members of society or social misfits and criminals. Our social workers are one of the keys to helping our children and families become healthy, contributing members of society. However, they become quickly burnt out and turnover is high within the Office of Children's Services because their caseloads are exceedingly high and they can only do so much. We are asking our current social workers to make lemonade out of ginger root, stars out of mud, and flowers out of thin air by not giving them the help and support they need and piling more caseloads on them that is humanly impossible to service justly. By giving more funds to hire more social workers, it will help to alleviate the overwhelming stress, rapid burnout, and high turnover within the Office of Children's Services. By giving more funds, not just the next generation, but our future generations will have a greater chance at success and have healthy, contributing members of society. All because there was someone there who cared and had the time to work on their case to the best of their ability. Someone who was not completely burnt out, overwhelmed, and stressed beyond compare. Someone who got the help and support they needed as a social worker due to funds that allow for more time and support for our families in need. So I urge you, please support our social workers by providing the funds for more workers, more aid to the Office of Children's Services, and ultimately more aid to our broken homes and the generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary Lee, followed by Robin Aga. We do have also like to welcome Representative Josephson and Representative Reinberg.
Hello, my name is Gary Lee. I'm 22 years old, and I was in care for 6.5 years in Fairbanks and Anchorage foster care systems. Over that time, I had 7 placements, and I had three social workers. And let me tell you, Alaskan social workers can provide one of the best care in the country. However, we're burdened with so many caseloads, so I'm not able to dedicate the time needed for each child. And they do a lot of important work with protecting Alaskan children, Alaska's future. And without the caring, dedicated workers that I had, I would not be on the track I am today. I'm currently going to UAA and pursuing a degree in nursing with plans to get a doctorate degree in nursing practice. And, like, the bottom line is we need more social workers, we need more funding, we need to decrease the caseload for social worker to provide quality care. So please provide maximum funding for this issue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary. Robin McGraw, followed by Amanda Mofir, I think.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Robin McGraw. I'm a former foster youth. I was in foster care system for 15 years and had 48 placements. While I was in care, I had over 56 social workers in OCS. The reason why I had so many social workers is because they were overburdened, stressed out, and overworked. The other reason why I looked at it is every time I switched social workers off, it delayed my time to find a forever family. And I'm here to talk to support to get more funding for social workers so they won't, for youth and kids like me, don't have to go through so many social workers and get stressed out. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Amanda? Thank you, Amanda. And then John Law, if you'd still like to testify.
My name is Amanda Mativier, and I'm the director of Facing Foster Care in Alaska, and I know you just heard from some of our youth. I really appreciate you allowing time for testimony today, and the clock's ticking on all of you. I'm a former foster youth myself. I aged out of the foster care system here in Anchorage. I've also been a foster parent to several teens in our system, and I have 2 degrees in social work from the University of Alaska, Anchorage. A recent study by the Institute of Social and Economic Research at UAA showed that one in every 100 children in Alaska is in foster care right now. That's 1% of our child population. The number of children in care has grown from 1,700 to 2,500 over the last several years. I'm sure you're all aware of this. The Office of Children's Services has changed the way that they substantiate abuse and neglect, and so the number of children coming into our state system is only expected to increase. You heard from our young people the number of placements they've had, the number of caseworkers they've had. The Child Welfare League of America recommends 12 cases per social worker. It's 12 families. I have a friend right now at OCS. I was just talking to her last night. She has 30 cases. She says she has cases where children need to go home, but she doesn't even have the time to do the work, the paperwork, get to the court hearing, do the things that she needs to do to get them back home. So they're just hanging out in the foster home because she's dealing with crisis after crisis after crisis because her caseload is so high. So really we just recommend that you provide funding in the budget for more caseworkers at the Office of Children's Services. I understand that, you know, things are tight fiscally, but in the end, it impacts child safety, it impacts timelines for children in foster care. The length of stay for children in our system should only be 12 to 24 months per federal standards. Robin just said he spent 15 years in the system. I work with a teenager right now who's 18. He was taken into custody at 9 months old. So we're spending more to keep children in the system every single day than we could be saving money on the backside and ensuring children are placed in permanent families if we had more workers to do the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. John Law, did you want to testify? Guess not. Don Litton-Warren, did you change your mind? Do you still want to testify?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dawn Winton-Warren. I'm just a simple volunteer. I really appreciate all the work you're doing in cutting the budget.
to the LIOs. We'll try them again. We will first start out at Kenai, then go to Sitka, then to Homer. In Kenai, we had Fred Sternin.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Sternin had to leave. We have our next test ready to speak.
David Brighton.
Hello, my name is David Brighton. I'm the president of Kenai Peninsula Education Association. I'm also the father of three boys in our schools. I'd like to encourage you to fully fund education. There was a bill last year that went through. It wasn't what we were hoping for. We're still making cuts because the bill wasn't as much as we needed. And now we're looking at losing more money. I believe, as well as many people, the low oil cost is a temporary problem, and I'd encourage you to work together to come to a solution where you can use the Congressional Budget Reserve. That's what it was created for. There are several other ways that you can save money. The legislative office in Anchorage seems like a luxury that we can't afford right now. Expanding Medicaid. I've heard that there are a lot of problems, but it seems like we could expand Medicaid and solve some of the problems that people are having with it at the same time, not hold off until it's perfect. Rarely do we ever get things to become perfect. The study I read said that 90% of people, 90% of providers are being paid now, and that many of the concerns have been solved. Our local school district here passed a budget, and they were dealing with the original cut to the one-time funding to schools. If the additional Senate cuts go through, we probably are looking at layoffs. We're looking at having to fire up to 100 teachers. We'll have to increase class sizes again. Education is a constitutionally mandated thing. Education is the best way to get our people out of poverty, to have a better life. Please fund education. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brighton. Is there anyone left in Kenai, Iowa?
We do have one more person, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
This is Bill Warren, 60-year resident of Alaska, Nikiski resident, and I'm glad you're going to have a little public input here. You're up against rough times, you got a rough job, and do it. And everybody's ox has got to get bored. And I'm saying you guys put your benefits on the table, labor voluntarily put theirs on. We have a state income tax. We take a surtax on the PFD. And I know a lot of you rhetoric Republicans do not want to address the oil companies, but you're going to have to. SB 21 was brought into effect with millions and millions of dollars of propaganda and special interest money. We have to address in-state gas needs and energy needs now, because we need to diversify from the black oil, and I love black oil, but you've taken 50 years to get gas to Homer, and you're probably going to take another 100 years to get it to Fairbanks, and you're just cutting our economy down. You don't respect the governor, and of course we need ASAG as a backup. We got a Super Bowl game going here, and our backup team can't be 99-pound weaklings. The governor knows a heck of a lot about this gas stuff. And you don't trust him. You don't trust expand the Medicaid. You refuse to do it because of ideology. And anybody knows that you can work legislation with that with reform. That's how you get things done, and you don't stall things. Now, we're all Alaskans, and I went through 1985, and we got stronger for it. We can do the same. I wish you guys good luck. You're going to need it. But everybody, we're Alaskans. We're not just special interest people. You understand that? Everybody's ox has got to get gored, and we're Alaskans, and we'll get through it. And we got to educate our kids. You can't you can't have these kids make up their grades and everything because of inferior teachings. You've got to keep these kids educated, and you're just fighting like a bunch of kids yourself, and you got to get your act together. And I wish you the best. A lot of you guys are my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. Anybody else in the Q9 LIL? Hearing and seeing none. Oh, we do have one more in Q9 LIL.
No, we have no one else this time, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we will move over to the Sitka LIO, Lon Garrison, followed by the Homer LIO with Pierre Schmitz.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Chairman Newman and Thompson and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Lon Garrison. I'm president of the Sitka School Board. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to testify once again on the operating budget and its importance to the funding of education. As you've heard many, many times, the one function that the state legislature is mandated to do by the Alaska Constitution is to establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state. The failure thus far of the legislature to pass a fully funded budget that adequately funds education has put every child enrolled in public schools in the state of Alaska at risk. School boards and communities across the state have had to develop budgets that have resulted in significant losses to programs and teaching positions that dramatically affect the quality of education for every child in Alaska. Most of us have done the hard work at the board table while trying to save what we can and preserve the hope for next year and provide for the opportunity that the state constitution prescribes. The city of Sitka has stepped forward as a good partner and committed to increase their contribution to educational support, and the community is working on ways to make those funding contributions sustainable. It's not been easy, and it's required compromise, respect, and creativity. There are communities and school districts across the state that don't have the opportunity for local support, and this is where full funding of the base student allocation is incredibly important. It is well past time that you as legislators and our elected leaders, representing the very same constituency that we as elected school board members in 53 districts across the state, do your duty and come to agreement on a budget that funds education and necessary state services for the good of us all. It's time for the game of politics to be set aside in the interest of the good of the state and its people, and importantly, most importantly, its children, which depend upon your leadership. Last night I attended our alternative high school graduation and witnessed five wonderfully bright students receive their diplomas. Of those five, two were five-year students and two were six-year students. They never gave up, and we in Sitka never gave up on them. In the end, it comes down to people, to respect, and the notion that we succeed when there is a will to. Please follow their humble example. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. And I would like to remind folks, if you have listened to some of you all think you would like to testify, let's be cognizant and then like the other members who would like to testify in over 2 minutes. Anybody else in particular? Hearing and seeing none, we'll move to Homer, and then we will go to Offman. And we're trying to stay close to the, so we get the list. Here, Schmidt.
Homer Lyle.
Hi, this is Tara Schmidt.
Oh, we lost audio.
We lost audio. Can you hear me?
We got you, Tara.
Okay, great. My name is Tara Schmidt. I'm here as a citizen and a lifelong Alaskan. I was here about a month ago to comment on the House budget, and I am a little upset to see that some things have not been added back in. I think we're at a better place, but we're not done yet. I'd like to encourage the committee to add temp surplus funds back into OCS, put the $2 million from pre-K education and parents as teachers, and to expand Medicaid. When I was a junior in college, my best friend in the entire world was raped while his college roommate sat in the other room. And so I wanted to comment on the $1.5 million for sexual assault and domestic violence prevention. Please add it back in if you can. As well as Aaron's loss, really good friend here was sexually abused from the age of 7 to 13. And if just one person had told her that it's okay to share that kind of thing, then maybe it wouldn't have gone on for as long as it did. I'm a green dot instructor, and I teach people skills as bystanders to prevent situations like that that happened to my best friend. To exclude Aaron's Law and to exclude prevention education is to take a pro-sexual assault and pro-sexual abuse stance in our state, which is leading the nation in rape. It's time to take a stand as Alaskans that this is no longer acceptable. Thank you. That is
thank
all.
You, Ms. Schmidt. Thank you, Ms. Schmidt, and thanks for your testimony. I know that was difficult. Steve Gibson and Homer.
Yeah, this is Steve Gibson. I'm finding it hard to follow that testimony. I'm pretty moved. As well as the testimony of Bill Warren from Nikiski. I agree with both of them. I'm a small-time sawmiller here in Homer and have been paying attention to the news and been somewhat disheartened by it. I wish that you guys would exhibit more responsiveness to the overwhelming testimony that there's been, both now and in the past. I think that we have to realize that Medicaid expansion has not gotten any serious response from you guys at all. I think that the reasons that you put forth for not investigating it have been phony. I think that they've been trumped up. I think that Health and Social Services has exhibited the fact that the system is not in great need of repair. I think that it would save money for the state. It would give 30 to 40,000 people health care that they need. And it would bring new jobs in here. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm fortunate enough to have good health insurance. I also have 4 children that graduated from high school and college a long time ago. So my plea for you to fully fund education does not come from self-interest. I'm overall more disturbed by the lack of responsiveness on the part of the House to public input. Majority polls have been exhibiting that these are polls funded by the majority, have been showing that there's 60-some percent in favor for passing Medicaid expansion. And that's all that I have to say. I hope that you become more responsive than you have been. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Do we have any more folks in the Homer aisle?
That's all in Homer. Thank you.
And seeing none, let's move to off-net. We will start with Judy Andre in Juneau, followed by Dr. Mark Miller. Mr. Andre and Ms. Judy Andre.
Yes, this is Judy Andre, and I'm calling in from Juneau, and today I'm representing the League of Women Voters of Alaska. The League wants to thank Representatives Edgman, Foster, Culver, Stutz, Bedeau, and Seaton for their support, their letters supporting the permanent fund, and the League also applauds House Speaker Chenault and Minority Leader Tuck for the continuing work on a budget compromise. A true democracy requires the free exchange of ideas and healthy civil debate on public policy in an open and transparent manner. This is how, quite frankly, the best public policy is crafted. In a democracy, majority rule cannot be a separate power unto itself. Compromise is essential. And in addition to compromise, education is the foundation of a functioning democracy, and democracy requires that public education be a top priority. Thomas Jefferson wrote once, quote, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never shall be. Unfortunately, at the time he wrote this, he was only referring to Euro-American men, the we fixed that because we listened to the voices of all the people. The LEAP supports Medicaid expansion because it's an example of a 60% plus majority supporting the 40,000 Alaskans who are in the minority when it comes to health care coverage. The LEAP also supports the basic democratic tenets of tolerance, cooperation, transparency, and compromise. The LEAP supports the exercise of free speech in the form of testimony and sufficient testimony. And it, finally, the League, well, we support a lot of things, but for today, the League supports the full funding of our education system, public education, because it's the underlying foundation of our democracy. And we also support, speaking of education, curriculum that helps the future citizens stay healthy and safe through such measures as the Safe Children's Act, Alaska Safe Children's Act. And we ask that
Andre,
you,
can you wrap up, please?
Yes, can, and we ask that you please pass a clean errands and breathe bill. So this is the only way we're going to get to the point where we have a government of, for, and by the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Andre. And I'd like to remind folks, we have over 30 people already signed up to testify. So if we could be polite to them and wrap up in our 2 minutes, we would appreciate it. I do expect quite a few more. I would also like to recognize Representative Shelley Hughes. Welcome, Shelley. Dr. Mark Miller and Juno, followed by George Pierce and Casilla.
Thank you, Chair. And members of the committee, Dr. Mark Miller, Superintendent, Juno School District. Usually I like to start off with a metaphor visual, which is a little tough by phone, but if you could work with me here. Picture, if you would, 10 $100 bills in your left hand. $1,000 as representing the state budget. The $16 million in your right hand would be represented by three pennies. Pennies are what we leave in the cup on the counter to help the next person avoid getting more pennies when we get change. But for us, three pennies in Juneau means five teachers or the ability to help kids who can't afford it participate in activities like football, basketball, and robotics, or the ability to educate students in the state of Alaska in the manner in which their parents expect and they deserve. And finally, maybe it's the time of the year, but our plates are full. We're doing everything we can to educate these students to the best of our ability. We're all about kids' safety and well-being, but we can't continue to try to do more and more with less and less. Please be careful and conscious about increasing school responsibilities in the community without adding additional resources to implement those. Saying no is hard. Promising yes than breaking a promise is much worse. Three pennies in $1,000 is not a lot, but it's huge for us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. George Pierce, followed by Tom and McPherson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, my name is George Pierce. I'm calling from Casilla, Alaska. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my testimony. Shame on this legislative body for fighting with the governor. Spring oil forecast is calculating oil at $60 a barrel for the next 15 months. You got rid of the film tax that brought money to the private sector, and we have an oil declining revenue. Why don't we revisit, why aren't you revisiting the oil tax structure? You talk about uncertainty. This legislative body has done nothing but cause uncertainty everywhere. Who would do business with us? You can't even pass a budget. Work with the governor, not against him. Town hall meetings should be free, not sponsored by special interest groups. Try representing Alaskans instead of big oil, and stop funding nonprofits. Democrats, stand your ground and don't give in to the will of these narrow-minded Republicans. Stand your ground for the Alaskans. Keep your hands off the permanent fund. You know, you guys give everything to these get off on us. Pass funding education to the max. Fund health care.
ask Mr. Pierce, Tommy McPherson, followed by Andy Story.
Hello, my name is Tanya McPherson, and I'm from Anchorage, and I do not represent any group. My first issue has to do with the fact that you want to take $5 billion from the permanent fund. I do not believe that should be done. You need to cut the budget for the oil company tax credits to $500 million and put the $600 million of the specific van back into the general fund. Education needs to be funded. We need to get the children educated. You need to move into the Atwood building on 7th Avenue, the building downtown that was renovated. It was a benefit to the person that owned the building, but it was a waste of money. You need to transfer the Bergaugh extension money back into the general fund. Education and the social working issues are big things that need to be funded in order to get the children, the future of Alaska, taken care of. Thank you very much.
Thank you, McPherson. This is Andy Story, followed by Todd Page, and the committee would like to recognize Representative Seaton.
My name is Andy Story. I am a Juneau School Board member and also serving as president of the Alaska Associations of School Boards. Today I am testifying on behalf of the association school board members statewide. First of all, we thank you for your support for education funding for the children in your district and all around the state. School board members are elected officials representing our communities in the most important job of educating our children. We ran for public office to improve the education of our children, grandchildren, and all children in our community. We want excellence in the instruction. We serve to provide transparency and find efficiencies for maximum use of the public dollars to serve our children. We care and are committed to their education. We believe they are the most important resource Alaska has. It's important that we work together well towards this cause. ASB requests that you fully fund the base student allocation. Our constituents, our families, communities, and business members want reasonable class sizes, excellent instruction, and children coming out of school ready to contribute to our economy and our communities as informed citizens. With flat funding of the BSA for several years, our districts have been making cuts to services for our youth. Fully funding the BSA will help provide services to ensure that our children get the support they need to make progress in their learning. As family and communities are celebrating graduation, school boards and staff are also planning for the start of another school year. We urge this body to pass a fully funded budget to provide for certainty in this upcoming school year. This is critical to keeping our plans for a full school year. It sends a message of confidence to our parents, staff, and businesses that their children's education is a priority and in good hands in Alaska. Please fully fund the base student allocation and approve a fully funded budget. This will greatly impact the children in our communities across the state for the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Doria. Todd Tobe and Tope, followed by Frank Gold and Fairbanks.
Yeah, good morning, House Finance Committee. Co-chairs Representative Newman and Thompson. My name is Todd Tobe. I'm the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District. This is my eighth year here. I'm also the president of the Alaska Superintendents Association. I did graduate from Norman's in my 27th year in public education, all in Alaska. We realize you have a most difficult task of balancing an operating budget and appreciate your efforts, so thank you. Notwithstanding, in 2014, the Alaska Legislature made a commitment to Alaska families and children by forward funding public education to support Alaska schools. Efforts to retreat from this commitment are now under consideration, and it is a crucial concern of utmost importance facing school districts across our state. The impact associated with elimination of funding for public education are woven within the basic function of responsible budget building for all school districts in FY16. At this time, we just don't know what our budget's going to be, and it's almost the end of May. We need a fully funded budget. Most districts have planned on these allocations to continue quality programs that are just plain and simple good for kids. Instead of a cut-the-budget-only approach, let's provide and explore revenue solutions to balance our budget deficit faced by Alaskans. The state does have a savings account to access for circumstances like these so that the cuts to public education, a public education that provides a free education to all kids without restrictions, are not so severe. Public education funding should be adjusted gradually over time according to the three-year funding plan approved last session so that districts have a legitimate opportunity to find creative solutions to accomplishing more with less. As district leaders, all of us have analyzed and reanalyzed our budgets and schools to find cost savings. We do our best to guarantee that funds that remain are used efficiently as possible to ensure every dollar spent goes toward meeting the educational needs of our students. As the economy of our state weakens further, public schools will be responsible for providing additional support to address the needs associated with the increase of low-income students walking through our doors. Without the committed funding, public schools will face enormous difficulty in meeting even their basic missions while taking on additional responsibilities. Thank you for considering restoring all public funding for schools. And let's work together on behalf of all children. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pogue. And again, folks who do have written testimony, if they'd like to email it either to myself, Representative Newman, or Representative Thompson, we will make sure that it is distributed to the members. Frank Gold and Fairbanks, followed by David Johnson and Pruitt Bay. Mr. Gold.
Yeah, my name is Frank Gold. I'm retired, and I've been in Alaska since 1964. Budget cutting, a small percentage here and there, or cutting a small percentage across the board, are no longer acceptable options. It's time to eliminate some programs entirely. It's time to express your sorrow and close down some operations that are of value to someone. It's time to bite that proverbial bullet and accept that Alaska simply doesn't have the money to do everything that would be nice to do, and truly we never did. It's time to discuss options in terms of Alaska's rather small resident population and in terms of oil price decline. Stop playing with Alaska's money like it's your own alone. You were elected to make the hard decision, the politically unpopular decision. No one's going to come home unscathed after a cantankerous and ludicrous session in Juneau or Anchorage. There's no doubt that at least some of you will be pilloried for the budget you finally develop. There's also no doubt that for all of you, there will be a price to pay for whatever it is you determine. It's unfortunate and often heartbreaking when someone must travel from their home community to Anchorage for advanced medical treatment. It's even more so when that travel means leaving the state. It's also unfortunate when an Alaskan must go elsewhere to enroll in a specific educational or training program. And it's unfortunate when many purchases include serious shipping charges. But, and this is of significant import, the state of Alaska cannot afford to provide all goods and services that a state with residents numbering in the millions can provide. With only a few constitutional directives, there are only a few state programs that must be funded. But there is no constitutional directive to provide funding at some idealized and unsustainable level. Finally, set your focus on forward funding before you preside over even one more day of significant budget failure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gold. David Johnson, Prudhoe Bay, followed by Charlene Arneson and Whittier. David Johnson. Okay, we'll come back to Mr. Johnson. Charlene Arneson and Whittier, followed by Donna Barron and Newman. Charlene Arneson. Okay, try this again. Donna Brian Homer.
Hello, can you hear Charlene?
We got you, Charlene.
Charlene Arneson.
I'm resident of Chugach School District. I'm from Whittier, and I have been a board member, and I'm speaking for myself, not the full board, since 2001, and I would like to testify that I concur with Lon Garrison and Andy Story. I've heard some great testimony this morning, and I would like to be sure that everyone understands that we were flat funded for several years when I first got on the board. If everybody remembers the pencil chart, it was either 6 or 8 years before we had any kind of increase. We had a little squirt here, and then we had the best thing that has happened to education was Mike Hocker and his task force, where everybody had input, where it was done very nicely, and we got a very nice outcome from that. And then we had flat funding after we had a wonderful task force, and then we have a little squirt, and then some more flat funding, 2 or 3 years. So when we talk about being overfunded in education, we have not even kept up with the cost of living for parts, for our supplies. And it seems like education can be held as a hostage over the years. It was always the last thing that was funded so that they could use it for bargaining. I have been testifying for many years. I've testified a lot this year. Sadly, I'm not sure that it's not falling on deaf ears. I appreciate everything you have guys are doing and attempting to do, and I know that it's a hard task, and having lived on a fixed income, I believe I know what budgeting is, and I believe that you will do the right thing, as so many people have said. I'll let that go at two minutes.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am, and we do listen. Donna Brand, followed by Julian Homer, followed by Joseph Dingman and Daryl.
Hello, this is Donna Barron. Hello?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, thank you for hearing me today. I'm a 30-year resident of Homer. I've been a small business owner, and I've also worked in the nonprofit field. I am not speaking on anyone's behalf except my own. I feel fortunate to have raised my daughter, who is now 25, in the community of Homer, where she felt supported to grow up and become the caring individual and productive member of society she is. Not all kids have the same opportunities coming into life, much out of their control. And kind of differences that can be made in a child's life from programs like parents as teachers and the prevention work being done throughout my community and I know statewide that also goes into our schools can be invaluable in giving children the tools that they need and that can actually change lives. If we don't fund programs that can be the key to giving families the support they need to help raise their children to become productive members of society, how are we giving them anything to hope for as Alaskans for our future? People have made it out of the cycles of oppression and poverty who have grown up in violent homes. They're only able to do that because someone has believed in them along the way. You hold the purse strings. Please don't glaze over while you listen to the people who have come before you today. I've heard some amazing testimony. Some of it has been very difficult to say, and I know you know that. I encourage you to fully fund education. I encourage you to expand Medicaid, fund the programs that support victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and the prevention work and parents as teachers. I just see you want to be a legacy of people who continue to line the pockets of the already wealthy,
or you want to support the human beings that make up Alaska. Thank you. Thank you for your work.
Thank you, ma'am. Joseph Bingman, and then followed by Robert Codrill and Juno.
My name is Joseph Bingman. I'm the chair of the Mental Health Board, Alaska Mental Health Board. Just to let you know that the Mental Health Board supports Medicaid expansion. One way to do that is to restore the increment and decrement and government receipt authority for our Medicaid expansion. Most having problems, they give the executive authority to move forward without passing a bill. And that's all I have to say. Keep it short. I mean, got a lot of people online, but one last thing that I appreciate everything that you guys are doing and the hard work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dingman. Robert Coghill and Juno, and then we will go to the Valdez LIO.
Hi, this is Bob Coghill in Juneau, and thank you for hearing me, Chairman Thompson Newman, and my friends on the committee. I'm the chair of the board on alcohol and drug abuse that was created by the legislature. We meet with Joe's, who just heard his committee, and we're all volunteers. We've come to the conclusion that expanded Medicaid is a positive thing. Now, I know that the Xerox takeover of the company broke the Medicaid billing system, and it's still under repair, and that's very regrettable. Maryland had the same problem, but still they went with expanded Medicare. Like Joe, I think that returning to the governor's budget, HB 2001, would be an acceptable compromise to both the majority and the minority. And I think it deserves another look, and I thank you very much for your service to the people of Alaska, particularly those with substance abuse and mental health issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coghill. I'd like to return back. Is David Johnson out there on offering yet? Okay, well, I'm going to assume that he hung up, was not available.
Thanks for coming back to me. I got so excited when it was my turn, they almost hung up.
Oh, good.
I've lived in Alaska for 20 years.
Mr. Johnson.
I've worked in Halliburton here in Prudhoe Bay for the last 25 years, and I've raised three daughters, all graduated from the Anchorage school system. What I want you guys to do is compromise and get a budget. I also want you to expand Medicare. And I have insurance, so I don't need it, but other people need it. And I do not want you to use the permanent funds earnings reserves. And I, with the father of three daughters, I strongly support Aaron's law. So, thank you on that. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm glad we were able to contact you. Okay, now go to the Valdez LIO, John Anderson.
Open my dick.
Thank you for taking my testimony today. Just a word about public radio. We have lots of folks in our outlying areas that depend on public radio for their information. And especially during the times we're going through now, I feel it would be a really bad idea to defund it. Our local public radio station here, KCHU, is in the position to also take a federal cut.
I think I'm doing all right.
Me at all?
Martha's okay. Good.
I'm
getting excited.
Hello?
Hello, man.
Well, hold on a second. We're supposed to have Mr. John Anderson from Valdez.
And he's here. Are you ready to take my testimony?
John Anderson, Valdez LIO.
Yes, this is John Anderson at the Valdez LIO. Just a word about public radio, please. Thank you so much for restoring what was restored to our budget, and I really feel it would be a bad idea to cut information to folks whose only source of information is the public radio. We have several in our outlying areas here. I think it's a bad idea to cut the information, especially during these budget times and with what's going on now. And once again, thank you for your hard work on the budget. and thanks for restoring what you could to public radio. We don't want to see it cut. Our local radio station here is in the position to lose federal funding also along with the state funding, so we are somewhat really in doubt. Anyway, thank you for your time, and thank you for your hard work on the budget process. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Is there anybody else at the Valdez LIO? Hearing and seeing none, we'll go to the Fairbanks LIO. Jim Chandelier, followed by Colleen Redman. Fairbanks LIO.
Okay. My name is Jim Scheidler, and I'm a husband, father of two children, one who just graduated high school here in Fairbanks. My daughter is still in high school, and we have already seen the negative impact of decreased education funding. The base student allocation really needs to be fully funded. In my professional life, I've encountered those who would be eligible for expanded Medicaid. Their lives are sometimes permanently negatively affected. Personally, their health compromised, or financially, for long periods of time for the lack of Medicaid coverage. I believe that it's time to cap the permanent fund dividend, and I do not think that this is the year to draw on the PFD reserve. I think having a plan to draw on the reserve with a cap dividend is appropriate. I believe that this year it's time to use the constitutional budget reserve to fill up the gap. And I believe it's also time to start the conversation on other income to the state, an income tax, say increase a sales tax, and an increase in the motor fuel tax. I watched the state budget director's presentation to you a month or more ago, and it was clear to me that we have to have a plan. And the plan of cutting to fill the gap is not a plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Colleen Redman, followed by Don Gray.
My name is Colleen Snap Redman. I live at 1216 Coppett Street in Fairbanks, where I've lived in Alaska for almost 60 years. I'm very much in favor of full funding of education and full funding of health and social services. I work in both of those fields. In fact, I work for the Territory of Alaska as one of three social workers that cover the territory from Barrow to Bethel. And through working in the schools, I see the importance of having services in health and in social service as an aid to helping the students to graduate from high school and take their place as productive citizens. On education, I'm very much in favor of fully funding preschool so that every four-year-old will have the opportunity to have trained teachers and to enter school fully prepared. And I'm also in favor of full-day kindergarten. On the health and social services, the social services are very important. They provide the necessary help to the family and to the child so that he can achieve his goals. On the health issue, to me, the expanding Medicaid is a no-brainer. I mean, we've been hearing about how it happens in all the other states. And the other states are able to have people implement it. And I think that our state is as smart as any of the other states and that we could implement it. We've implemented a good election system. We didn't have any hanging chads. We could do this. And so I'm very much in favor of expanding Medicaid.
Thank you, ma'am. And on behalf of the committee, I'd like to say thank you for your long-term service to the state of Alaska. Don Gray.
Yes, Chairman Newman, thank you very much for this opportunity. Don Gray, a 45-year resident of the state. And like several before me, I also very strongly support K-12 education. My own two children graduated from the Fairbanks schools. I have two grandsons who are in the Anchorage Public Schools right now. The $32 million that had been appropriated last year, plus the $16 million that I think the Senate cut out at the last minute, the $48 million to K-12 education should be restored, and I think the $30 million to the UA budget should be restored. Article 5 of the Constitution strongly supports education. Medicaid expansion has been mentioned, and that is something that can actually bring in money. It's funded 100% at the beginning from the federal government and would go down to a 90% funding level from the federal government. Besides providing excellent insurance coverage for those without it here in the state, do not move the permanent fund earnings reserve into the lockbox of the permanent fund corpus. That leaves the permanent fund reserve allows flexibility for planning into the future, that if you lock it up, you're not going to be able to adapt very well to the future. If you're looking for, you've cut so much already, but if you still want to cut oil company tax credits, which look, I look upon as subsidies, the more companies spend, the more subsidy they receive in terms of tax credit, and that lowers the amount of money the state receives. So in terms of passing things, education, Medicaid expansion, Aaron's Law, without all the peripheral things that have been added to that original bill. And as far as money sources, the Constitutional Reserve, the CRB, is a good source. The permanent fund earnings reserve only after inflation proving the fund and providing for the principal. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else in the Fairbanks LIO?
Yes, sir. We have two additional testifiers.
Go ahead and make sure we have their name and affiliation.
Hello, and thanks for letting me speak. My name is Dan Johnson. I'm with the Interior Region EMS Council in Fairbanks. I'd like to talk to you today about a specific effect of the current budgetary impasse. As it stands, there will be a 53% cut to regional emergency medical services programs in the most recent budget as vetoed by the governor. This funding supports 7 regional EMS programs across the state. Regional EMS programs conduct state EMT certification training, instructor training, and testing. We act as a liaison between people in our region and the state office. We develop model regional standing orders and other protocols that all EMS services in our region can use. We were instrumental in the development and implementation of a statewide EMS data system. We provided stability to the state EMS system through the last decade of instability and staffing of the state EMS office. We developed the Code Blue program, which has brought over $21 million into the state to replace critical EMS equipment. We provide development and technical assistance to rural and volunteer EMS services, and we train thousands of citizens in CPR and first aid. Our budget, the funding for regional EMS programs used to be a distinct line item, but now it's buried in the Division of Public Health section of the emergency programs budget, and as such, it's difficult for you and the governor to understand the impact of cuts that you make to that section as how they impact the regional EMS programs. I'm sure this must be the case because the governor cut this funding by 50% the same week as he declared EMS week in the state. As it stood after the budget that the legislature transmitted to the governor cut our funding by about 6%. This was painful, but we're happy to share the pain in these difficult financial times. I urge you to get over this budget impact and consider the impact on important programs such as regional EMS. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And just a reminder to folks in the queue, we do have over 30 people waiting to testify, so if we could keep the 2 minutes, where that's an hour out already right now. So we have another one in Fairbanks, Ohio.
Uh-huh. Richard Feinberg, independent analyst. I have seven process focus items that are necessary to improve understanding of petroleum quantification, which would enable formulation and execution of a long-term process. Why the blazes aren't we doing it in this time? One, focus on industry profitability, which is ignored by some esteemed state economic analysts. Two, focus on conversion of the fiscal year data to the calendar year so we can understand the relationship between the government share and industry profitability. Focus on total net revenues, very important element, because the percentages of the take are virtually meaningless without that. Focus on the degree of corporate consolidation to assure competitive economic environment to attract potential investors in the state development. That would get into the big three and look at that and see if we need to change it, which we do. Five, the functioning of the state auditing program. Make sure it works. The first four items should orient it to that one for number five. Number six is focus on the field cost accounting to ensure excessive field costs do not undermine the competitive economic environment. Number seven, the correct accounting of transportation costs. These are in writing and the materials are on my website. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Plantree. Anybody else in Fairbanks, Ohio?
That concludes Fairbanks, Ohio testimony at the moment.
And seeing none, we'll go to the Mat-Su, LIO, Michelle Church. Mat-Su?
Thank you. Michelle Church, representing myself and other reasonable people in the Valley. This majority caucus budget describes a very narrow vision, and frankly, it's pretty mean-spirited. You focus on collecting revenue from your most vulnerable residents while you ignore potential growth from industries like healthcare and agriculture, not to mention collecting our fair share from resource extraction. It begins and ends with threats if the majority caucus is not given carte blanche to do whatever it wants. Expansion of Medicaid would increase the state's ability to collect the cost of programs required by ill Alaskans, as outlined on page 11, lines 24 and 25. Individuals requiring these programs are indigent and financially insecure. Those of us with private medical insurance will be forced to continue paying for those who have no insurance, and yet this section requires that those poor people be dogged to pay up, and really that's not in the best interest of anyone. Section 6, fund transfers. Transferring these funds effectively neuters the state's ability to hold a strong position in negotiating for a gas line. Our continued self-imposed position of weakness was exploited by the oil industry in SB 21 and is no indication of a willingness by the legislature to renegotiate. Pulling money from the in-state gas line budget will likely pull a veto from the governor. You're simply baiting him. How is that putting Alaska first? Clearly, the education budget is woefully underfunded, and there's nothing in this bill that indicates any thought to correcting that. Aaron's Law, as originally submitted, would help to reduce the need for the funds required for children protective services by preventing harm to our children through education and empowerment. Sections 8 through 13 can only be described as bully sections. It states that either the minority caucus gives in to the short-sighted, politically driven agenda outlined by this budget, or, by God, the Republican majority will begin their raid on the permanent fund. This can only be described as shameful and extortive. Stop playing partisan politics. Negotiate and compromise. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more in the Mat-Su LIO?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And seeing none, let's see. Let's bring it back in-house. If we can have Charles McKee followed by Rachel Bedsworth. Charles McKee.
Gone.
Rachel Bedsworth. Followed by Katrina Hicks. And if you, the person up the bat next, if you could come forward, that would help.
Hi, guys. My name is Rachel Bedsworth, and I'm 18 years old and a recent high school graduate. I am representing faith and foster care in Alaska, and I'm here trying to get more social workers into the system. I have been in the foster care system for 13 years with 46 placements. And during my years in care, I have gone through 5 social workers, and now I'm going to gain my 6th social worker. Currently, I am trying to transition into adulthood and with absolutely no help from my social worker. My social worker has way too many youth on her case, more than she can handle. Because of that, it leaves me no room for me to get help from her. Being a foster, I've grown up to do things on my own. But for my transition to an adulthood, I can't do this on my own. I need the one-on-one help from my social worker, who is technically my legal guardian. I'm in state custody. The state is my legal parent, which means all of you. So please help us with gaining more social workers so future youth like me can gain permanency, transition into adult easily, and not have to do this all on their own. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm glad to have another kid. Katrina Hicks, followed by Cheryl Lovegreen.
Hi. Catherine Hicks, just a citizen. I'm retired, so I have the time to come here, unlike the majority of working Alaskans. We admire the legislators that have stood strong and begun the effort to reduce spending. More could have been done, but you have at least started. I realize that these are not actual cuts, only reductions in the normal increase. As for you education fans, tell me why results are down despite all the money you spend. I worked for ASD and was always sickened by the wasteful spending. Also, I don't believe that many private workers get automatic raises every year. I would like to see, I know you have some tough decisions to make. I'd like to see more cuts if possible. I know next year is going to be worse, and we cannot continue to add money back into this budget. Even our illustrious Governor Walker said he was going to cut 16% across the board, and he hasn't done near that. And so it's time for you to represent us and not just the people, the leeches that are calling in all the time. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Can we get your name for the record? I don't believe we can. Catherine Hicks. Thank you. Cheryl Lovegreen, followed by Carolyn Ramsey.
My name is Cheryl Lovegreen. Thank you for finally holding a public hearing on the budget. For the record, I support AIDS laws introduced by Representatives Millett and Fire, not the recent bill passed by the Senate Education Committee. I also support the Medicaid expansion. Not only are there moral arguments in favor of these proposals, but Medicaid expansion will also help our state's economy. Since our economy and the budget are in such dire straits, I will spend most of my time today on that subject. First, I would deplore the majority of the media's emphasis on cutting education and social services. I assume the legislators present are aware of the arguments in supporting public schools and DHSS programs, so I will simply give the most obvious one. Well-educated and healthy families are best able to be productive workers who create jobs and support their communities. Cutting these areas will not close our budget gap and will cause more harm than good. So let's look at better places to cut. Certain projects come to mind. This is Sitler Dam, the Bagoth Road Extension, and the allocation for the Kinnikon Bridge. I would like to add the building we're moving today are the tax credits we give to oil companies, but I assume those items are probably considered non-negotiable by the majority leaders. I support a compromise between the majority and minority leadership in order to use part of the CBO to fund this year's budget. Please please listen to the minority leader's request to fully fund public education and health and social services. I do not support raiding the permanent fund to bypass this process. There's no need to put permanent fund dividends in jeopardy because the majority leadership is too stubborn to negotiate. While the legislature is currently focusing on budget cuts, we won't be able to run this state in the future without creating more revenue. I applaud Senator Bishop and Representative Seaton for starting that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Carolyn Ramsey, followed by Vince McCormick.
Hello, thank you for taking testimony. My name is Carolyn Ramsey. I'm a 40-year resident of Anchorage, and I'm representing Citizens for Responsible Development, UMED. We do not advocate against development. We advocate for responsible development. Through extensive research, we have determined that the Northern Access Punch-Through or Borgata-Elmwark connection does not represent responsible development. Therefore, we ask for the funding for this road to be repealed and the recovery of non-encumbered funds and be returned to Alaska's general fund to assist our state in its current financial crisis. Alaska does not need to spend $35 million on a two-lane road 0.7 mile long, $15 million from the University of Land, and another $20 million from the Alaska Legislature. Regional Hospital is a fully functioning hospital is located 1.4 miles north of this proposed road, negating the argument that this road is needed for emergency medical access. Nine community councils from across Anchorage have passed resolutions against this project. According to Dow's own reconnaissance report, the road will save maybe 10 to 30 seconds, and traffic along Borgata will increase by 50% in 15 years. If the road is not put through, there's only a 20% increase in traffic. The reconnaissance report projects the traffic along Borgata to be relieved by the completion of Highway to Highway, yet Highway to Highway is not scheduled to even begin construction for maybe 45 years. What are we supposed to do with the 30 years in between? The most recent AMS LRTP study shows that Borgata Northern Lights are over capacity, Borgata DeBar at capacity. There is no right-of-way along Borgata, meaning that Borgata cannot be widened without getting into eminent domain issues, the taking of land, homes, and businesses. $52 million in tax-assessed value lines Borgata Road. That's about $14 per $100,000 of tax-assessed value increased in property taxes. Bottom line is that we do not want this road, we do not need this road, nor can Alaska afford this road. Really, $35 million for 0.7 mile road, two lanes wide? I'm sure Alaska has much better use for these funds, and you've been hearing from so many Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Vince. And then we'll be going off-net to Bruce Bidwell in Fairbanks. Mr. McCormick.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Vince Beltrami, President of Alaska AFL-CIO. We represent between 55 and 60,000 workers in the state of Alaska. 15 to 20,000 roads are your state workers, and I take a little bit of offense to a recently previous testifier who I think referred to a lot of the hardworking Alaskans who serve their state as leeches. There is very little distance, it seems like, between what the majority is asking for, what the minority is asking for. I'd love to see you guys solve that problem. We all need to see it solved. But the one small component that I did want to speak to, that's my constituency, are the contracts for the state workers. As you guys know, because most of you guys voted on these contracts a couple of years ago, with Governor Parnell, it was 1%, and now we're in the 2.5% year. State employees took sacrifices on those first 2 years, and now, not your committee. In fact, your committee, when HB 72 went out of House Finance, it included those contracts in there. I think you guys wanted to honor those. They were pulled out at the last minute by the Senate Finance Committee. And that is a commitment. It's a contract, and it makes me ask the question, what is a contract? If business was at the table here, if it was oil, mining, tourism, anybody, who would have the will to cut the contracts that have been negotiated with those folks? It's an Alaskan value to honor the commitments that have been made. The difference on that particular component, I mean, $18 million in UGF is not an insignificant amount. But in the grand context of what this budget is, it amounts to a little more than a pimple on the backside of an elephant or a donkey. I don't want to be too partisan. Either which way, it doesn't amount to a hell of a lot of money, and it would be honoring the commitments that you guys already had honored right up front. So that's all I'm asking you to do is to look at those. Otherwise, what you're looking at potentially
is having more than 10 contracts all having to be negotiated right now, right up front. I don't even know what the cost of the state would be of that. But Alaskans value honoring the commitments, and that's what I ask you to do. And I thank you for the work that you've done and hope that you can quickly get to a resolution that actually includes real negotiating a budget. And I thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you, Vince. And I think I can say for all legislators that we do appreciate our state workers, and the last thing we want to see is anything slips going out there for them. We're going to go off-med again. Bruce Bridwell in Fairbanks, followed by David Meese in Anchorage.
Hello, thanks for taking my testimony. My name is Bruce Bridwell, a private citizen in Fairbanks, 29-year resident, raised three sons in the Fairbanks School District, and all turned out pretty doggone well. Like to take a moment. I recognize that the committee has been working to find cuts, but I don't think we can cut enough out of our state government that provides support across the biggest state in the nation and the widest range of public services that intermediate governments in lower 48 states can do, counties and so on. The state covers those needs. Want to point out that we do constitutionally require fully funding our education, and that should not be a political football. As you go forward with cuts, you now need to really focus on revenue, and revenue seems to be the bad alternative, but I would like the committee to consider income taxes first on people and corporations for a start, then using the constitutional budget reserve to cover the shortfalls, not the permanent fund earnings reserve. The two financial funds are completely different, and the purpose of the constitutional budget reserve is to fill a shortfall when needed. So that said, thank you for your service. I appreciate you guys trying to find some compromise. It's time to listen to the governor. It's time to listen to the minority. Thanks, and that's it.
Thank you, sir. David Meese, followed by Norm Wooten in Juneau.
Yeah, this is David Meese.
Hey, Mike, what's up? Representative Ortiz, thank you, Ben. Go ahead, Mr. Meese.
All right, yeah, this is David Meese speaking for myself. I would like to address a couple of things. When Great Alaska Schools was testifying, they did a survey. I sent a copy of the survey to you, Representative Thompson, so you can share it with your other members of your committee. One of the things that keeps coming up is fully funding education. And when we served on the House Sustainable Education Task Force, one of our recommendations was not to increase the funding simply because you don't have any control of what happens to it after you block grant it up to the districts. QDH School District was testifying earlier. They have four schools that have 300 students. They can have a budget of $6.8 million. $4.2 million of that is salary and benefits. The state only gives that district a little under $3 million. So their salary benefit package exceeds what the state is putting in there. Now, they only have 12 teachers, and I really am sure they're not paying those teachers $142,000 each, which is what the state's amount would be per student if they just directed it to teacher salaries and benefits. So the problem is not the adequate, not fully funding education. You have done it adequately. The problem is getting it into the classroom. And as you listen to people testify from districts across the state, they're saying, we don't want a local board cutting teachers. You as legislators can't do much about that without the formula, but you have certainly given enough money. So just the cuts are not cuts. They are not increases of what you had before. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Meese. Norm Wooten in Juneau, followed by Francis Bennett in Anchorage.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I would like to thank the legislature for their many years of support for public education in this state. You have been very supportive and continue to be supportive, and I believe that that's a that's a priority for every legislator. School boards are facing a dilemma never seen before since the beginning of statehood. We're not sure the doors are going to open in August. It's creating a lot of angst among our staff, among school boards, and among parents and communities throughout the state. So we would respectfully request that the legislature to fully fund the budget, ensure that we can create stability within districts all across Alaska. We are also requesting that you fully fund the base student allocation. We as school boards understand the fiscal crisis facing our state, and believe me, we want to be a partner with you in solving that. So we ask that you do the right thing for kids. In the interest of time, I will be very brief, and so once again, thank you for your support, and we just request that you fully fund the budget and that you fully fund the base student allocation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten, and thank you for your brevity to ensure that others have the chance to speak. Francis Bennett, Phil, followed by Rick Buckelow in Anchorage. Francis Bennett. We will come back to Francis Bennett. Rick Buckelow, followed by Edward Whitbeck. Rick Buckelow in Anchorage. We'll try Mr. Buckelow later. Edward Whitbeck in Kenai, followed by Ann Fuller in Juneau. Try Mr. Whitbeck later. Ann Fuller. You maybe we lost her off net.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, my name is Butch Moore, and I'm here to speak to some cuts to the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. This agency is very, very important. We have learned the sheer numbers of assault and sexual molestation in the state are staggering. This year so far, the first 3 months, you already know, 783 cases of sexual assault and molestation. We don't have enough social workers or investigators to deal with all of these cases. Very much like House Bill 44, Aaron's Law and Bree's Law, this is all prevention money. I talked to Peggy Brown, she said $1.5 million are going to be cut from education funds. For every dollar spent in these education funds, we save $3 million. We should spend $10 million so we can save $30 million. It's just unbelievable, it's staggering to me. And as a parent of Brianna Moore, who was murdered by her boyfriend last year, I have personal experience of this. The numbers were number one in the nation of men killing women. We beat South Carolina last year when my daughter was killed for 2014. We're number one in the nation for rape, number one in the nation for sexual assault, and we lead 6 times the national average of children being molested. I can't believe that anyone who wouldn't support education to keep our youth safe. Senator Bruce Stevens said, what parent would not want their child to have this education? House Bill 44 is education. And so I'm asking you from the budget, don't cut money from education. If anything, add money to education. We have too few social workers and investigators. And to vote against it, as did Keller, Wilson, Hawker, Sadler, Johnson, and Pruitt against House Bill 44, I don't know why you would vote to not give the education. So a couple of you here today have the ability to make sure that you have the money in for this education in this budget.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Let's try it back. Apparently Mr. Buckley went back and Fuller dropped off. We'll go back and try Francis Bennett. Off net. Okay, we'll come back to that one. We're still in off net. Jill Lush from Homer, followed by Jamie Taylor in Anchorage. Jill Lush, Homer.
Let's kick off the phone line.
Jamie Taylor. Okay, we're checking with the off-net.
Hello, this is Jamie Taylor.
Go ahead, Jamie Taylor, followed by Julie Tilson.
Hello, this is Jamie Taylor, and I appreciate being able to testify today. I've been a 33-year resident of Anchorage, Alaska, raising two children in the public school system. And I absolutely oppose raiding the permanent fund to fund the budget. I support Medicaid expansion. I urge you to pass Aaron's law in its original form without the substituted rewritten version with all the personal agenda added onto it. I resent that. I think the original Aaron's law is what we want to see passed, is what I want to see passed. I support fully funding education. And I really urge you all to start working together. It seems like a real dog and pony show down there with everybody fighting each other and playing games. So, you know, we're Alaskans standing by waiting for you to start working for us and listen to the will of the people. So I appreciate being able to speak up. Thank you for doing your job.
Thank you, ma'am. Joey Tilson in Juneau, followed by Celia Rosen in Anchorage. Joey Tilson. Celia Rosen in Anchorge, followed by Ross Mullen.
Yes, this is Celia Rosen. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, ma'am.
Okay. For the record, my kids are out of school, so I'm not speaking from self-interest, but I still care about the next generation, as I'm well aware today's kids are not getting the educational benefits my kids got. They and I... Excuse me?
Name for the record.
Oh, I'm Celia Rosen. Thank you. My kids and I are extremely grateful for the excellent education they received, and today's kids deserve the same opportunities. Thank you for the work on the budget, but I would like to see you finish the job. I want to urge all legislators to work together and compromise. It's extremely disconcerting to the public to see the constant editorials and legislative sessions where blame is assigned to one party or another. Please compromise, but not on education. Funding education is not a pet project. It's a constitutional responsibility. It's extremely important that the 29th legislature restore the education funding gains made by the 28th legislature, which brings a step in the right direction towards full funding. You are essentially the same people with the same values you had last year. I want to see you compromise and use the constitutional budget reserve. That's what it's there for. Please restore the one-time funding cut by the governor and reverse the cuts proposed by the House and the even more devastating cuts proposed by the Senate. We have to educate today's kids properly. Please have the will to do this. In addition, I would like to see Aaron's Law, HB 44, restored to the version prior to the May 21st amendments. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you, ma'am. Ross Mullins in Anchorage.
Hello, my name is Ross Mullins. I'm a resident of Cordova. I've lived here in Alaska for the last 52 years. And I have been disheartened by the lack of compromise exhibited by the Senate leadership toward the desires of the Democrats to make some modest changes to the public budget that has been developed. I believe that compromise is the nature of politics, and their demands are not particularly outrageous. It's just shifting money around four different priorities. And among those priorities, one of them that I have gotten quite attached to is the Aarons and Britt's Law, HB 44, that was so egregiously distorted by the Senate Education Committee led by Senator Dunleavy to effectively abolish the potential implementation of this law. And in my opinion, the law would have a huge effect on the education of young Alaskans in school so that they understand what is actually happening to their bodies when males who may have hormonal development earlier than girls start to experiment on their classmates in ways that are not appropriate. I believe this is a important issue for Alaska as we are the leading state for sexual abuse and child abuse in the United States of America, and this is something we should be truly ashamed of. I could comment on many other elements of the budget, such as Medicaid expansion, which I strongly support. Seems untenable to me that the nitpicking of potential problems that were exhibited in the Thompson gaveling out. Yes?
Can we wrap up?
Yes, I will. I believe that was totally against the democratic process, and I object to the whole tenor of these budget hearings and lack of cooperation and compromise. So thank you very much for listening to me at this time.
Thank you, sir. And if I would like to remind people who are testifying again, we have quite a few people in the queue, and if we could be polite to stick to the 2 minutes and to make sure we can allow everybody an opportunity to talk. We will go, we'll stay with, try Jill Rush again. Is Jill Rush available? No. Joey Tilson? Francis Bennett? Okay. We will try with three more on Off-Net. Anita Sparrow in Anchorage, followed by Scott McManus of Polk. Antonia Sparrow.
Hi, this is Antonia Sparrow, and I am representing myself and my children who are not yet old enough to vote. I want to support funding for education. I would like you to expand Medicare for the moral reason that there are a lot of people that don't have health insurance, but also for the economic reason that it is a way to grow our economy, and in that we talk about that, and this is a way to make it happen. I also want to comment, and this is probably my listening to the testimony so far, this is the thing that is most striking to me, is that the process that's being used this year for negotiating the budget has been the worst that I've seen in my 4 years as a resident here. There's a chance that a contract is not going to be honored for our state workers. There was forward funding that's been pulled back. There was a special session that was called, and then unusual procedural actions that ended up moving that special session in a way that doesn't respect the governor or the state constitution. And if we cannot have a process that works, we do not have any hope of not only getting to a endpoint that is logical and workable, but we also risk losing the people who are of interest with politics. And I work with young people and military people pretty regularly, and it is very difficult to engage them because the political process is so opaque. And I really urge you all to think about how you can work together in a civil way to come to a logical conclusion. And I also want you to realize that we're arguing over change, and I mean change in terms of not dollars, but dimes and nickels, and we're avoiding the important work, which is finding new revenue. So it's penny-wise, pound-foolish. We really need to be mostly compromising now and then working to educate voters about new funding sources. I support a cap on the permanent fund dividend so that...
Ma'am, can we wrap up, please?
Yep, and I would also entertain other funding options like an income tax and an increased fuel tax, and that is really the direction that we need to go, and we need to do it quickly. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you, ma'am. And again, if we could have folks go to 2 minutes so that everybody has an opportunity, that would be appreciated. Scott McManus and Tilk, followed by Kevin Shipley of Cape.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Scott McManus. I'm the Assistant Superintendent in Alaska Gateway School District. I'd like to thank the members of the Finance Committee for your hard work at this difficult time. I know you folks are doing what you think is best, and I know it can't be easy to listen to this. But I know that you're learning, and hopefully you take something away. I'm speaking to encourage the committee to prioritize constitutionally required education funding. I have lived in Alaska for better than 50 years. I have attended school and university here. I served in our military. I have raised 2 sons, both of whom served, and one of whom is starting his own business, and the other who is currently attending the university in Alaska. I'm invested in this state. I want to stay here. I want my family to stay here. In times of budget crisis, Alaska should be investing in our human capital, not cutting it. Human capital is the only way that we're going to get out of this fix. Right now, it's when Alaskans should be doubling down on education, not cutting it. Cutting education is a short-term solution to a long-term problem, and it will make it even harder to dig ourselves out of the mess in the long term if we go that route. The solutions to this will be found by a highly educated citizenship who are created, who are motivated, and who have the skills to step up and become leaders in the state. Obviously, deficits matter. I'm not a fool. School districts in Alaska balance their budgets year after year, and we do it sometimes when it's difficult and other times when it's not so bad. What we need to do is focus on our key mission and where we get our best impact on limited dollars. In our district, we've already cut our music program. We've delayed hiring because of the current uncertainty of the budget. The past 2 meetings of our board have been very difficult because while we prioritize, we can't make any final decisions, even though we're required to, very shortly. The question that we need to ask, that you need to ask, is how do we get out of this mess in the long term? You can start by working out a compromise that addresses the problems. Practicing the art of politics is the art of compromise, and I would and we would like you to practice that art, and we know that you'll go forward with the best interests of our state and our students in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have Kevin Shipley and Cape.
Kevin Shipley, Superintendent of Schools, Cape City School District. This morning we conducted our last day teacher in service. I'm sending my staff home for the summer because we were required to have our budget to the city for approval by May 1st. We planned in April and based our budget on the worst case scenario being talked about out of the Capitol. We examined what programs to cut and determined how to staff based on what programs would suffer and overall needs of our students. However, with no public comment at the end of April, the legislature came back with not the worst case scenario being discussed, but an additional 4% cut to the BSA. I realize the dire financial straits that we are in as a state and that there are painful decisions to be made. But as a leader, it is our responsibility to let our constituents know what we are contemplating so that they have an opportunity to be heard, provide assistance if they wish, and to be able to plan so that once a decision is made, that we can respond and provide the best services possible. As a person that believes problems can be solved by teamwork, leadership, and a vision, it has been disheartening to see the negative energy of the legislative body concerning our current challenges. I'm requesting that you restore the 4% to the BSA, and then let us know what we are looking at next year so we can work together to create a solution that is best for all Alaskans. I also believe that Aaron's Law should be passed without the add-ons if the state picks up the cost to develop and provide the curriculum. You are great people and great individuals, and I believe if we become statesmen that we can do great things for solutions here in Alaska. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Do we have J.R. Myers online?
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yes, this is J.R. Myers. I'm speaking for myself and as chairman of the Alaska Constitution Party, and I'm just calling you all to remembrance of the discussion during the campaign where it was the sustainability factor was discussed at length, and many of you agreed that we needed to develop a sustainable budget. So while we would like to take this opportunity to commend you for the work that you've done in holding the fiscal line, we want to encourage you to really look at the legitimate scope of government. And while many programs are nice and people have many reasons to see them funded, they do not fall within the legitimate purview of government, and they are not sustainable, and we will not be able to continue on this way, and we are going to burden future generations. So I ask you again to look at the government spending, not the revenue. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Okay, we'll bring it back in-house. Andy Holman, followed by Laura Sarcone. Laura, if you come forward so we're ready to go.
My name is Andy Holman. I'm president of the Anchorage Education Association, about 3,500 members here in Anchorage at Staff Your Schools. I'm going to ask you to do something I think harder than anything anyone else has asked, and I feel bad for doing that. But we do need some predictability and maybe a reset button on how education is discussed. Real briefly, last year with 278, we felt like we had some predictability. We had something we could bank on. Wasn't necessarily what everybody wanted, but it was something about the future to where districts went out and planned. As we came into this one, and the governor made cuts, and then the House made cuts, and then the Senate made cuts, we're very grateful there's not a third chamber for the bill to have gone through. But the essence is, I work in an industry where if in September, if one of my members gives 8 months' notice that they want to quit their job, they're at risk for losing their license for suddenly leaving. We work in a different calendar. We work in a funny way. The idea that we're sitting here in the middle of this summer and the budget for the Anchorage School District in the fall is not known is very disconcerting. Over the last 2 years, even in the face of layoffs, we still have to go out of state and recruit people to come here and staff our positions. ASB has a recruiter on a contract. I got to tell you, he's not having a whole lot of success right now trying to convince someone to move up here and sign a contract in the fall, given just the state of everything. I know it's difficult, and I know it changes your whole calendar, but if that can't be changed, this public education is going to continue to kind of crumble despite the funding. And I know funding's tough, and I know changes have to be made. Please don't throw an extra curveball in having a BSA but only funding a percentage of it. This just begins to make everything much more incoherent to us out here. Thank you for the work you do, and best of luck.
Thank you, sir. Laura Sarcone, followed by Tom McCosh. Laura, are you Laura?
I'm Laura, but not Sarcone.
Okay. Oh, did you want to testify?
Yes,
I would like. My name is Laura Barr. I live in Representative Lynn District and been in Alaska since 1972. Grew up on a wheat farm in eastern Washington, and in the years poor crops or low wheat prices, our family made sacrifices to invest in the seed for the next year's crop. Funding education is that seed for future workforce, entrepreneurs, and leaders of Alaska. And the new crop of workers, entrepreneurs, need to be cultivated and provided with education and tools all the way from pre-K to the university and vocational programs. History has shown us that doing those things means higher graduation rates, less dropouts, and less strain on the court system, penal system, and public education or public safety budgets. Education must be one of your high priorities. We are all human beings, and we all make mistakes. Mistake was made in the latest oil tax reform pass, and not considering a drastic drop in oil prices, despite warnings from several of your colleagues. that it could be a possibility. I know that most of you don't support revisiting that, but another mistake is not heeding the warning signs regarding health issues. You and I can afford to go to a doctor if we're experiencing early warning signs. Some of your colleagues have experienced things like cancer, and with early detection, got the treatments they needed because they had insurance. many working Alaskans in low-paying jobs cannot do that. Expanding Medicaid could help them get the treatment they need and could also help us with an increase in revenues. I think passing the budget advisors is short-sighted, and reading the PFD earnings is a great mistake. Invest in Alaskans by funding education, expanding Medicaid, and child protection, because they can't speak for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Tom McCross, followed by Dina Mitchell.
My name is Tom Walkish. I'm thanking for the opportunity to address the committee on the budget. I'm representing myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a cost-plus job here. You folks really need to do your job and adequately fund our budget. It's clear that the Alaskans want to protect the Constitutional Budget Reserve and the PFD and all its assets, and we need to find additional revenue sources and cut the boondoggles. Additional revenue source, the most obvious and painless, is to expand Medicaid to increase decrease the cost for medical support by our state government and to create jobs and industry in Alaska. We need to diversify our economy, and healthcare is one of the best ones we could possibly do because it has reverberations throughout the economy, both in taxable corporate profits from the health industry and for the productivity of Alaskan workers. We need to stop funding perennial boondoggles like Tinicom Bridge and the Susitna Dam. I spoke to the director of the Susitna Dam project last night. He said that the projected cost of energy from the dam is 15 cents per kilowatt hour, and MLMP and Chugach just rejected a 6.3 kilowatt per hour wind proposal from SERI. It's clear that the cost of that power is way out of line, that we won't need it, and that we should incrementally introduce renewable power as possible. It's the best for our state. If we want to market gas, it's clearly in conflict with the marketability of that gas. We should, if we're going to put our eggs in that basket, we should clearly try and make that work with the lower CO2 technologies that can help us market our gas. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dina Mitchell.
Good afternoon, and thank you for providing the opportunity for public testimony. My name is Dina Mitchell, and I think many of you have heard me speak before. Just, there's so much to say, but just quickly, yes, revenue's down dramatically this year. That is what our reserves are for. From a global perspective, taking out a hatchet and cutting willy-nilly does not make sense. It will hurt our children. It will hurt our mentally ill citizens. It will hurt our foster children. And it will cut thousands of jobs and put us in an economic tailspin. This is why we have reserves. You cannot take hundreds of millions of dollars out of a budget in 1 year and expect us to maintain healthy economy. So that's one thing. And I do recognize that much of that hatcheting was done by the Senate and not by you, and I do appreciate that, that the Senate is not offering an opportunity for testimony. Secondly, yes, I have heard people say, you know, hearing testimony is not really worthwhile because every dollar in the budget has a constituency. What a wonderful thing that we have a democracy, people can talk about what they believe in and what's important. Then it's your job to look at what is the most important. What are things we cannot catch up on in 2 or 3 years? What are expensive investments that we have to make, continue making, even if it means dipping into our reserves, our rainy day funds, which is what those funds are designed for.
I would say it's children, I would say it's Medicaid, I would say it's foster children. You need to dig into your hearts and make those decisions. Thirdly, we are now in our fifth year, as Mr. Holland said, with the timing on education funding is absurd. We need predictable, stable funding for our schools. Then we can start to innovate. Then we can start to make improvements. We cannot do it if we're spending 6 months a year in this ridiculous game. We have, in the fifth year, no matter how you describe it, we are losing people in our schools, and that does not help our children. So I have much more to say, but leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, and you can always submit it electronically or write it. We do have a legislative finance website, lhscfin@akleg.gov.
Good,
thank
you.
You can go to the House Majority website and call.
Thank you, Representative Newman.
Thank you. We have Francis Bennett back online. Francis Bennett.
Hi, this is Francie Bennett, and I'm calling on behalf of myself, and I just want to say I'm very proud of the work that you all have done in reducing the budget. It's much needed and much appreciated, and I'm a previous caller. I feel like the Senate's version was probably a better one, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we'll try another off-net here. Martha Moore in Juneau, followed by Malcolm McEwen in Fairbanks. Martha Moore?
Yes, this is Martha Moore in Juneau, Alaska.
Go ahead.
I'm testifying in support of Medicaid expansion. It's good for the health of Alaskans. It will bring in money and create jobs. It's a win-win-win for Alaska. I understand that currently our Medicaid payment system has a few problems, which are quickly being resolved. That does not mean our Medicaid system is broken. I'm sick of the tired old luck, let's do Medicaid reform before we do Medicaid expansion. It's one of those facts that on the surface seems to make sense, but it's really just code for I'm against it, and I'll say anything to go in or scuttle it. The reasons for being against it, I suspect, have more to do with national politics and ideology than it does to do with what's good for Alaska. State money is currently paying millions of dollars for medical, mental, and social services that could be paid for by federal money. It could have been since it was offered over a year ago. To do Medicaid before life, seamlessly, economically, and with the greatest success, Medicaid expansion must be done concurrently with reform. It is the expansion that will enable and facilitate the reform. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, ma'am. Malcolm McEwen in Fairbanks, followed by Tom Chard in Juneau. Malcolm McEwen. Tom Chard. Juneau?
Good morning, Representative Newman and Chair, the rest of the House Finance Committee. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, who do we have?
Tom Chard calling in from Alaska's capital. I just wanted to introduce a couple of quick points. I'll be brief. I'm calling on behalf of the Alaska Behavioral Health Association. The Behavioral Health Association represents the drug and alcohol treatment centers and mental health centers across the state of Alaska. We've got centers from Barrow down to Ketchikan, over to Dillingham, and back here in Juneau and Anchorage. Two quick points. One, our association has been discussing and deliberating on Medicaid expansion for quite some time, and just wanted to on the record that the Alaska Behavioral Health Association and its members strongly support Medicaid expansion. For expediency's sake, we're providing testimony today as an association. We didn't have our over 50 members from across the state calling in. We appreciate your time today and appreciate the opportunity for public comment. And finally, ongoing community behavioral health services depend on funding in the FY16 budget and our partners employed by the Department of Health and Social Services in the state. We urge you to pass an operating budget as soon as possible to reduce uncertainty and ensure continuity of services. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. We'll circle around again. Malcolm McEwen. Okay. Do we have Gail Peterson in Sitka, so we can check this one off. Joey Tilson. Jill Lush. Okay. We will go to the Cordova LIO, Penny Oswald.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Penelope Oswald, and I'm a 39-year resident of Cordova, Alaska. I've been listening to the news and watching what's been going on, and I'm a little bit appalled at the delay of this legislature to work together to balance the budget. I expect all elected officials to work towards and approving this budget and act in a bipartisan manner for the good of all citizens of the state of Alaska. I have a couple of things I would like to address specifically. One, I am against removing $5 billion from the permanent fund to fund this budget. I would expect you to take it from the reserve or find funds in other areas. Alaska used to have a state school tax that could help fund education throughout the state. Going on with that, first of all, I support and I urge you to adopt the medical expansion and reform savings. We must expand this program to provide adequate health benefits to thousands of Alaska. I find it amazing that party politics should be able to hold Alaska hostage on this issue, and I believe that all Americans and Alaskans should have adequate health care. Moving on to the Alaska Marine Highway System. The Alaska Ferry is our road. The state of Alaska receives federal funds to provide for the ferry and all roads in Alaska. This highway is critical to our coastal communities to purchase goods at a reasonable rate, provide a route for tourists that add to our economy, and allow additional access to medical care and more. To cut these must be cut across the board if you're going to cut and not selective to individual communities. Education. Funding for educational from the state of Alaska preschool to university level must be restored. By reducing the state's education system, you are essentially telling the world that Alaska is a seasonal-only state. Don't expect to move here thinking you can adequately educate your children to succeed. Especially in the rural districts, the proposed reductions will take our schools to less than bare bones. This will further hurt Cordova's economy by making for inadequate education, causing more families to leave. On another issue, I support Aaron's Law as presented in its original form without the committee substitute. I also urge you to fund child protection. Alaska's foster child care is urgent to the state. With the influx of meth, heroin, and other drugs, we are seeing more and more children being abandoned, and they need to be monitored. Some of these things, I have a serious problem with paying oil company tax credits, especially in the amount of $700 million. These tax breaks are subject to legislative appropriation, and in tight times, they can be reduced.
Can we wrap up, please?
Sure. Due to remove the 17.3 of the Anchorage-Bregal Road extension, and move to Achiever Building, $4.2 million per year for Alaska legislatures. I'm sorry. I think you guys can do that more efficiently. And with that, I will cap my comments.
Thank you. And we do have more people in line. We want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity. So if we could be polite and cognizant of that. Some people have been waiting online for over an hour and waiting to testify. So let's please be polite to them, folks. George Brown and Juno. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Oh, I'm sorry, Newman. I didn't know I was going to testify. I want to be just to the heart of the matter. We live in a time when things are changing in the world very rapidly and we're all scared to death. If there's one thing that Alaska has to give, it's got a great constitution. It's based on listening to people. It's based on practicing democracy where we really listen to each other and it's coming to conclusions that solve problems. Just focus on that and remember, Alaska has a lot to give to the world to protect the environment and to innovate in ways that will ensure the future for our children and all the world's children. I believe that. Keep working for it, and thank you very much for your work in public service.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, and thank you for your continuing comments before the House Finance Committee. Also in Juneau, we have Chad Fischel.
Good
Do we have anyone else in the juvenile LIO?
Hi, my name is Chad Fischel, and I was just testifying as a 24-year-old private citizen of Juneau, Alaska. I have 2 points to make about the current budget negotiations and the fact that we're in the dire straits that we're in. My first point would be that we are trying, as other testifiers have said, to cut our way out of this budget problem when we have lost our biggest income and we are doing nothing to correct that. We're paying more in tax production credits than we are receiving in tax revenues from a resource that is owned by every single resident of the state of Alaska and not benefiting from it, and having oil companies come into our state and have a rebate worth more and be able to take money out of our pockets when we can't even pay the bills is sad. It's not being responsible partners in developing oil in Alaska, and it definitely doesn't reflect the profitability of these companies themselves. The fact that we're trying to cut our way out of education, and I'm a publicly educated student from Alaska, I was born and raised here in Alaska, and I can't believe that we would try and cut our way out of this when we have profitable companies that are operating in our state and we aren't having them pay their fair share for the infrastructure they use and the infrastructure they're asking for us to pitch in to help them build and the development they're already trying to do and their promises once SB 21 was advanced last year and campaigned vigorously for. The jobs have not materialized and layoffs are now in the future as they realize that low oil prices mean they can jerk Alaska around, and I'm very disappointed that we can't come up with revenues as well as cuts, because there are government areas that could be cut, but there are definitely revenues that we have given away, and it's disappointing to see lawmakers take money from these companies and then give them tax production credits over funding the state of Alaska services that we have all come to use and expect and need. This state definitely has a diverse population that is stretched across the biggest state in the union, and it takes a lot to provide for us, and I can't believe you guys called a special session in Anchorage. It was very disappointing.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else in Juneau, Ohio?
No, that concludes testimony here.
Hearing and seeing none. Okay, we're back in house. Karen Greenberg, followed by Alberta Lippitt.
Hi, thank you for letting me testify. My name is Karen Greenberg. I'm an 18-year resident of Anchorage. I'm here to offer my support for Full Settings Education for passing Aaron's Law as it's written. My most concerning issue is the expansion of Medicaid. I'm frankly appalled that it's not a no-brainer, as I've heard other people say today. We really need to provide for the citizens of this state that need health care, and there's quite a few of them. I, for one, don't want to pay for their emergency room visits anymore, and I don't think anybody else really does either. In fact, it's really, really expensive to treat our citizens through the emergency room system. By expanding Medicaid, we'd be bringing in $145 million in federal funds, 4,000 jobs, and we'd be providing for the most basic of needs of our citizens, our friends, our neighbors, our children, our grandparents. And what I really have a hard time understanding is that Alaskans overwhelmingly support this expansion. We elected you to represent us, and we're saying to you, we want this, we support this, and it's going to bring money and jobs into the state. So I'm baffled, completely baffled by it. There are a lot of boondoggles, as other people have said today, that we could really get rid of the bird. This building, bad idea. And the oil company tax credits, it's shameful. It's really shameful. The last thing I want to say, and I want to say it respectfully, but it might not come out that way. To you members in the majority, you've been in the majority since I've lived here. It's not working. You got to try something new. Really, you have to try something new. We can do better. We can do better as a state. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Alberta Lippert, followed by Laura Bonner. Alberta Lippert or Laura Bonner? Okay, we'll sit them aside for now. We will go to the Mass Hill LIO, Tim Walters.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Walters. I am president of the MAPSU Education Association. I represent about 1,200 teachers here in the Valley. I'm here to ask that you honor your commitment that you made last year to funding public education. House Bill 278 was a compromise last year that many of you voted in favor of. It provided 3 years of stable funding for school districts after they suffered years of flat funding. For the MAPSU, those years of flat funding brought us the dubious distinction of having the highest class sizes in the state. Large class sizes mean that struggling students get less individual help. Class sizes of 32 plus in high schools are not uncommon. Crowded elementary schools are not uncommon. Crowded elementary school classrooms, that is. Imagine a kindergarten class of 26 5-year-olds all using scissors at once. Funding public education, or cuts to the funding of public education, also result in things like history or science classes only being taught half-time rather than students taking a full year of it. They only get a semester of it. Those things already occur, and cutting public education funding anymore will just make that worse. In the MAPSU, we've been trying to recover from flat funding, and last year's House Bill 278 allowed us to pull out of that crash diet we've been headed for. It gave us predictability. Please keep your promise you made with House Bill 278, and please fully fund public education. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the MAPSU LIO at this time?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and seeing none, we will go to the Fairbanks LIO. Carl Benson.
Hello. Hello, I'm Carl Benson. I've been a resident of Alaska since 1962, and I'm raising a family in Fairbanks. I've been extremely disappointed in the legislature's ignoring the broken revenue picture. As I noted, I've been a resident since long before oil started flowing from Prudhoe Bay, and this is the first time I've heard anybody refer to $60 oil as low, a low price. You simply have to revisit the oil tax structure because it is completely broken as it currently stands. You also need to expand Medicare and do not touch the earnings reserve of a permanent fund. I believe this is a procedural maneuver simply to subvert the process to create a situation where the vote threshold can be lowered to access the CVR. And I think the only reason that would be done is to make it so that you don't have to negotiate with the minority. And I think that's, for lack of a better word, it's simply a cop-out. And I expect more. I think everybody I've heard testify here today expects more. I think you need to do your jobs, and we're all in this together. Regarding taxation, I will not pay a dime of an income tax if it's just going to go and help Exxon with tax credits at Point Thompson. I think the current cuts that are being made in the Alaska state spending is going to speed us towards an 80-style recession, and I remember that very well. That's when I came out of UAF with a chemistry degree, and it was not a good time. I think we need to get ideology out of the way and review and change the oil tax revenue laws now and end the giveaway. We also need to expand Medicaid. For example, I think 1 million barrels a day of new oil at $100 a barrel will not fix this broken revenue picture. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. We will go to Rosalie Rain in Fairbanks, Ohio.
Hi, this is Rosalie Rhine. I'm a 29-year resident in Alaska and plan on raising my family here and living here moving forward. I'm employed by Office of Children's Services, but I do not represent OCS for the purpose of this testimony. We have an opportunity to appropriate $2.9 million to OCS without adding to the budget. We are, Office of Children's Services is chronically understaffed. While it is true that we have vacancies that we are unable to fill, the reality of the situation is that the workload is so high that the job is just not feasible. For workers, it is profoundly demoralizing to underserve our most vulnerable population. This is our raped, our beaten children, and their families. Because our caseworkers do not have time or the opportunity to work with families and evaluate the changes they're making, we are unable to strengthen the families that do come into our system. Roughly half of the kids that OCS takes into custody end up available for adoption, and we are not able to reunify these families because we don't have the workers to work with families after the children come into custody. 40% of our foster youth are homeless at some point in their lives after dealing with OCS. 27% of the children we work with end up incarcerated at some point in their lives. Almost 70% of the families we work with are Alaska Natives. When we are unable to reunify due to staffing, we have a systematic way of perpetrating the oppression of our most vulnerable populations.
We wrap up, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't want to rush anybody, but I want to try to make sure everybody gets a chance to have an opportunity. Is there anybody else in the Fairbanks LIO? Seeing none. We will circle back. Fred Sturman in the Kenai LIO.
Now, this is Fred Sturman. I'm speaking for myself. I'm probably the only one here tonight that you're going to hear that I don't want you to add one penny to this budget. I would like for you to see you cut a few hundred more million dollars out of the budget. You've hired almost 1,000 employees since 2000. I think most of them could be laid off. You can close DMV. We don't need the more Medicaid expansion because it's so expensive now that we can't live with it. And if necessary, I would like to see the budget. You guys run out of money and they have to close the government for a few months because we are broke, and I don't think that you should be taking money from the working class of people that's making very little money by income tax, the permanent fund, and a sales tax to give to the government employees, which most of them is probably drawing more money than most of the working class people that will be paying this income tax and sales tax. So please stick with your guns. Don't add one penny to the government. If you want to add something to the school district, take 10 to 1. If you give anything to the school district or any other agency, take 10%, 10 times more away from other departments. And I thank you for this time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Glad we were able to come back and catch you. We'll come back in room. We have Jeremy Price, followed by Philip Walters.
This is Jeremy Price, State Director of American Public Radio Alaska, and that's from Walters, based in New Jersey.
No, Albert. Does my time start over? My name is Jeremy Price from Anchorage. I'm the State Director of Americans for Prosperity Alaska. I just, as an observation, I will just point out, you guys are going through the same thing that we went through in the congressional level. When you handle appropriations for Senator McCaskey, we started reducing the size of the budget, at least flatlining it, and then get rid of earmarks. That shifted the demand from Congress to you all. So the folks that used to lobby us for earmarks, nonprofits, communities, all that, are now lobbying you guys. So we empathize with what you're going through, but after a few years, things adjust and people kind of get used to the reduced spending. We support what you guys are doing. It's a thankless job. We think that state government has expanded enough. Now's the time to grow the pie, grow opportunities for business, not grow government. We also happen to be members of the state chamber, and we agree with some of the points that they've been making recently. One is that the longer we wait to try and get this budget under control, the more revenue we're going to have to raise in the future. So we applaud you for what you're doing. Stick to your guns, and I'm sure we'll all get through it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeremy. Bill Falters, followed by Chapman. Carol Chapman.
Hi, my name is Philip Walters. First of all, I want to apologize for my appearance. I wasn't planning on testifying today, but I actually ended up having time to be able to come down. My name is Philip Walters. I'm a resident of Eagle River, father, and teacher in the Anchorage School District, although I don't represent them today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. As a teacher, I often see students expend more energy trying not to do what they should rather than to take just what I ask them to do and do it. I'm starting to see shades of this with this legislature. More effort has been put into working around the minorities than has been put into trying to work together to create a functional, reasonable budget. I don't understand why money is being taken from our education budget and put towards such pet projects as the Kinnick Arm Bridge, the Susitna Dam, and the Bregal Road Extension. I've heard from several legislators that these projects would create jobs. That's great. But what about the jobs that would be lost or not filled when the education budget gets slashed? These projects are not absolutely necessary right now, but education needs help right now. If your roof is leaking, you don't add an extension to your house. You fix the leaking roof, and you certainly don't tear the roof off. That seems to be what we're doing with education right now. You must work together and stop these petty political games. Dipping into the permanent fund is dangerous. Please don't do that. This is why we have reserves. The CDR is there. Cooperate with each other, fund education, and give Alaska the future it deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Looks like you've been hanging out at Aurora Dog Munchers, huh?
I ran the race a couple years ago.
Cheryl Chapman, did you want to testify? Okay. David Boyle, followed by Charles McKee.
Good afternoon, representatives, chairman, women, other representatives, committee members, rather. By the way, when I was in fourth grade, I wasn't given scissors. And I think maybe some of those 26 kindergarten or fourth graders could probably cut the budget much better than some of us could. But I want to just address education. By the way, as you probably know, Alaska spends more than three other states on a per-student basis. We spend about $22,000 per student. And you also probably know that we're just about dead last in fourth grade reading. We are dead last for low income, for upper middle income, we're second from the bottom. So money's not the problem. The process is the problem, and education reform is what we need to focus on, education delivery. Let's look at some facts from the Anchorage School District, which I'm very familiar with. By the way, they just released their end of their third quarter fiscal financial plan, and they have a balance of, in their general fund only, $25.5 million. That's a positive balance. If now you look at cash and investments, that's even more startling. In cash and investments, this graph here, that top line is fiscal year 15. All the other lines kind of merge together, which are the previous three or four fiscal years. They have $220 million in cash and investments, which is a $70 million increase over the previous fiscal year. So the question is, what are they doing with their money? Some of that may be used for capital projects and the bond proceeds. I couldn't pull that out of there. So personnel, if you look at the same report, personnel, 9,855 employees. And of those, approximately 2,200 are teachers in the classroom. There's a tremendous amount of overhead in the Anchorage School District, about 50% or more. So I'd like to have you focus on teacher quality to improve education. This just came out in the last month or two. It's put out by the National Council of Teacher Quality. Guess where Alaska is? Alaska gets an F. We only are better than Montana.
Thank you for the time, and I appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you. This. Any information I'd like to pass on, you can get to staff and we'll make copies for members.
Sure will. Thank you.
Charles McKee.
For the record, my name is Charles McKee, and I'd like to bring your attention. Our troubles actually started in 1933, and with H.J.R. 192 bringing into effect the Federal Reserve, Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security system. And the reason why they backdoored the Social Security system is they didn't have to re-rent that money. You know, Federal Reserve was a private organization, private corporation. They broke apart our trust. Our trust was SQU Trust, the original trust set up by the Founding Fathers, signified by the Treasury Seal, which was represented, this country was established as a Christian nation, represented Geological Survey Monument, and represented the fact that we had a joint bank account clause with each and every individual American. We were attached to the Treasury. So there's three meanings to that. They treated it like a tramp stamp by changing the design, like it had no significance. It does, and it still does, but they don't use it anymore. I own it now through copyright. I had problems with Juno in 79, with Sarah Hemphill, with the Renewable Resource Development Corporation. I got a taste of that. So when I came upon the opportunity to do a contract, I insisted on the joint bank account clause with the Pioneer Home. I do a fundraiser. I was going to give them 50% of my revenue because I was going to use their credibility established. I didn't have any. What did Juno do? Sheffield, I mean, destroyed my credibility. And maliciously, in 1983, Anchorage Times, I still haven't recovered from that. My landlord calls me, you owe me $40,000 in back rent. That's double what I owe, well, my property's worth in Matsu, at Matsu Bill Appraisal, at 20. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Okay, we will go off net. We will start with Sarah Kehoe and Tel Keatna, followed by Drew McCleven and Masilla. Sarah Kehoe. Drew McCleven and Masilla, followed by Barbara Marsh.
Hello, this is Drew McElveen. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Drew McElveen. I am calling on behalf of myself as an Alaska resident, also as a State of Alaska employee, as a law enforcement state park ranger with Alaska State Parks, and as a father. Just wanted to express my displeasure with the way the legislative session has gone so far this year with what appears to be the lack of compromise within the legislature to try and get the job done as everybody was hired to do. Just a few points that have been of contention that I'd like to chime in on were the education funding that was promised in last year's legislative session that has been removed out of the budget. It is important to our children. I believe it's important to our state, and I encourage you to include that money in there. We do have the constitutional budget reserve, which I believe should be used for these points of contention, as well as the state union contracts that have been redone to exclude pay raises for state employees. Of course, that would affect me and my family, and I understand we're in a bad financial situation right now, but I'm more concerned with the legislature and the state's willingness to go back on their word. And there's that saying of a man is only as good as his word, and if the state is unwilling to be good on their word with contracts, I wonder how that will pan out on a proposal for a gas pipeline or something that as important as that. So I also would like to encourage you to expand the Medicaid expansion, as I do believe that health care is important for all Alaskans, especially the low-income Alaskans that cannot afford it. I'm fortunate enough to work for the state and have health insurance, but I
concerned with how long that may last if this continues. So again, I would encourage you to vote for those things. Hopefully you can come to a compromise to access the constitutional budget reserve to use those monies, as it is a bad time right now for the fiscal situation for the state of Alaska. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have Senate Finance meeting in this room at 2 o'clock, so we're trying to make sure everybody has an opportunity. We still have people in the queue here, so people can be cognizant of that. I don't want to make it so people can't talk. Barbara Marsh and Anchorage, followed by Sue Hull.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm a 37-year resident of Anchorage.
Barbara Marsh?
Yes.
Thank you, for the record.
I am against removing money from the permanent fund earnings reserve to fund this budget. I think there are a lot of other ways to save the money. We have to make choices when we are low on funds, like not to continue funding things like the Susitna Dam or the Anchorage Brigade expansion. Those are things that you do when you have extra money. We don't. I think moving the Anchorage Legislative Offices to the Atwood Building, that would be a really good move. I support funding the Office of Children's Services. I support the Medicaid expansion and reform. I think that would help bring federal funding, and it supports people that really need it. I also support Angela. I think that is very sad that people can't see that is so necessary. I think the children of our state need this kind of information and support available to them in our school system. So I really encourage you all to work together in a bipartisan way, and I thank you very much for letting us testify.
Thank you, ma'am. Sue Hull, followed by Alex.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Sue Hull.
Yes. Good afternoon, committee members. Thank you so much for taking public testimony. And thank you for your service. We recognize it's been a difficult year, and the revenue shortfall is real and of concern to all of us. I have 2 points to make. One is to encourage you to do whatever you must to reach a year-long budget agreement. The uncertainty is costly and disruptive, and for those of us who have to have budgets that respond to your budget, it really would be helpful to know how to move forward. The second point is, I really thank the House for maintaining its commitment to fully funding the BFA and the Foundation Formula. I urge you to continue that. In Fairbanks, our school district, we've made cuts every year in recent years, and we will have to make cuts even with the BFA fully funded in light of the reduction that the governor proposed early in the session. But we just ask you to consider holding firm about the BFA cut, so that the reductions we make are not as disruptive as they would be otherwise. They're really quite extraordinary in comparison to the last 30 years that I've been involved with education. And so just in sum, please do whatever you need to get an agreement. These are difficult decisions for all of us as elected officials. We will do at the local level whatever we need to once your decisions are made, but we would ask for your support in doing the right things for kids. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Alex Wertheimer, followed by Bob Crumley.
Hi, this is Alex Wertheimer, speaking from Juneau, Alaska. I'm a 43-year resident of Alaska, and speaking for myself, I support the Medicaid expansion. It will save money, and it's the right thing to do. Improving the system can be done concurrently. I also ask that you fulfill the commitment the legislature made to education last year. Providing an adequate public education system is an Alaskan constitutional mandate. This is not the place to try and fix the deficit. It's our investment in our future. On the revenue side, it's obvious you can't cut your way out of this deficit, and you have to start speaking of substantial new revenue sources. You need to revisit the oil tax structure. I know this is a nightmare, but we cannot give the oil companies more credits than we get back as revenue. These are some of the most profitable corporations in the world. The development and utilization of Alaska's resources has to be for our benefit, not just theirs. Consider the percent of value payout for the permanent fund down the road, with a set percentage for dividends and a set percentage for the state operating capital budget. This was an original attempt of the permanent fund to provide a renewable revenue stream as oil inevitably declined. And finally, reinstate the state school tax. provides a revenue stream that can be directed to education and provides an opportunity for non-resident labor to contribute towards essential services in the state in which they are employed. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, sir. Bob Crumley from Chugach, followed by Susan Hansen in Fairbanks.
Hello, thank you. This is Bob Crumley. I'm the superintendent for the Chugach School District and a member of the Alaska Association of Superintendents. And in this capacity, I'm testifying on behalf of Alaska youth and public education in general. Public education is truly the backbone of our state and federal democracy, and I don't want us to lose sight of that. Alaska youth and Alaska's future depend upon our legislature, and as a regional education attendance area, REAA, in Chugach, we truly have no local government to whom to turn, and we directly depend upon our legislature. I am calling to encourage full funding of education. The uncertainty of the funding for education continues to impact our ability to plan and operate our schools efficiently and effectively. Without certainty and fully funding education, and without passing a fully funded budget, we're putting Alaska's future at risk in the long term. In the short term, we're jeopardizing a range of services, from cutting tutoring and food services, and in my district, 5% staff cuts and health care benefits, and the list goes on. So I'm going to stop here so others can testify and just thank you and all who are supporting education in the legislature.
Thank you, sir. Sarah Keogh.
My name is Sarah Kehoe. Hello, can you hear me?
Go ahead. Is this Sarah?
Thank you, House Finance Committee, for taking public testimony. My name is Sarah Kehoe. I'm representing myself and my three children in public schools in the Upper Susitna Valley. I'm a 24-year Alaska resident with a British accent. I live in Senator Mike Dunleavy's and Representative Mark Newman's district. I am also a physician assistant with 16 years of experience working in a community health center in the Upper Susitna Valley. I strongly support Medicaid expansion and reform because I see so many hardworking single men and women who cannot afford insurance even through the Affordable Care Act. I'm also a professional with much experience working with people who have suffered sexual assault, molestation, rape, and murder, and therefore I am fully in support of Erin's Law, HB 44, as originally written. I'm also in favor of increased funding for the Office of Children's Services and Foster Care Services. It's much needed. I'm also in favor of increased funding for behavioral health and substance abuse treatment programs in the state of Alaska. It is desperately needed, particularly in remote areas. I'm in favor of fully funded public education, as well as pre-kindergarten education, as well as vocational education through the University of Alaska to support our youth. I would like you to know that I'm strongly in favor of you using our savings from the Constitutional Budget Reserve account, and that I'm in favor of you using the $6 million allocated for the Wantana-Susitna Dam. I'm in favor of you asking oil companies to take a reduction in tax credits. I'm also in favor of you asking and encouraging CEOs to take cuts in their pay. I'm in support, strong support, of Medicaid expansion reform because of the huge economic benefits that it would bring our state. I ask you respectfully to pass the budget as quickly as you can so that school districts can continue the work and inform their staff as to whether they have work, and all the public employees and snowplowers that are getting ready for next winter, and then sit back down and talk about the other states.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you, and we are supposed to be out of this room right now, but we have seven people left. We'll do the best we can, I think, to try and get through those seven before we have to evacuate out of this room. So if people be cognizant and keep their comments short and to the point, we'll make sure we log in. Susan Hansen in Fairbanks, followed by Meredith Holman in Anchorage. Susan Hansen.
Yes, I'm Susan Hansen. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. I represent myself for my daughter, who is severe to profoundly deaf. I just want to say that I object to the legislature defunding or doing away with the interpreter referral line for people like my daughter who are severe to profoundly deaf. And my understanding is that the budget for interpreters in Alaska under interpreter referral line was totally slashed. That's my understanding, which really cannot be outsourced to Seattle or other places. When a profoundly deaf person goes in to apply for a job or go in for medical care, they don't have access to video relay systems in those offices. They need a qualified interpreter to go with them, and that's the interpreter referral line. Beyond that, I hope you work in a bipartisan way and work together to resolve all these problems. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, ma'am. Mary Beth Holman in Anchorage, followed by Sylvia Atoff from Rainbow.
Hi, this is Mary Beth Holloman from Anchorage. I'm a 29-year resident of Alaska. I'll keep it short. I want you guys to do a bipartisan budget. I want you to take a look at what the Democratic Coalition has put together. And I want you to quit nickel and diming the education system and the children and the poor people of Alaska and take a look at oil company tax credits. That's what you need to cut. You need to cut the oil company tax credits and look at the oil tax structure. I would particularly like to aim my comments to the man who's supposed to represent me but does not, Senator Kevin Meyer. And I would remind Senator Kevin Meyer that he should not be voting on anything having to do with oil companies because of who he worked for. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sylvia Atoff from Langle.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Atoff. I'm a 30-year resident of Langle. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would like to talk about the ferry schedule and budgeting, not schedule, but the budgeting for the ferry. I understand that we're in a predicament as a state. However, singling out any one entity to cut more severely than another entity is has consequences that affect us smaller communities more than they affect the larger communities. Not only am I a resident that uses the ferry system, but I also own a gut outfitting business where we use the ferry system to move guides around and have clients that are coming in. And by cutting all the ferry systems, it has severe economic impact on us during the time that we can we make the majority of our revenue. And so to see that any one particular, of course everybody's going to scream, and generally the loudest kid in the bus gets the attention. However, I'm counting on and hoping that our legislatures are able to look more, step aside and look at everything clearly and take all of this in consideration when making cuts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we have four left in house here. Michael Chambers, followed by Springer and Aaron. Spencer, Aaron.
Thank you, Chairman and Committee. My name is Michael Chambers. I'm the chair of United for Liberty, which is the largest nonpartisan umbrella political organization in the state of Alaska. I come to you as a Vietnam veteran. I come to you as an elder here in the state of Alaska. I've been here since 1975, and I find it appalling that I have to stand second in line behind Medicaid patients with regard to reimbursement for the services that I have earned and I've paid for. And the second thing is that the MESA study indicated that by 2023, the Medicaid that as we have right now would be funded, our share would be approximately $3 billion. And by 2030, it would be $4 billion. We're broke. The fact of the matter is that we're continuing to hear Alaskans say, I want, I want, I want. We've invested in a legislature that you have to make the hard decisions. And one of these hard decisions is that we have to redefine the definition
of our state government services and the citizens of the state of Alaska is going to be seriously an issue that's going to be on the table next year for sure. We have to redefine that. And everybody is, Alaskans for many years have had the largest of government and the I want. I'm also an ex-educator from Delta Junction, and to say that funding in the state of Alaska for education is not fully funded or not substantial is an evasion of the truth. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Spencer Aaron, followed by Sarah Bettini. Sarah, if you can come forward and get ready to go.
Hi, I'm Aaron Springer. I'm coming as a resident for 3 years, about to get out of the military and join the civilian workforce. I have a brother who's on Medicaid, and so I understand the challenge and how Medicaid is an awesome program when you have it. The problem with the current situation is we just don't have the $10 to $20 million that the administrative costs of expending Medicaid alone are going to entail. It's just a very difficult decision to make. It's a very emotional issue. Just right now with the budget, it just seems like now is not a good time for the investment that it would require. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sarah, followed by Krista Von Berger, and that will be it.
Hi, my name is Sarah Tammy, and I'm here to testify for a sustainable budget. As North Alaskans, the Senate majority understands the situation we are in today. We are in a fiscal crisis. A handful of legislators, along with the governor, seem to have forgotten this. More state spending is simply not an option at this point. We need to live within our means, and Alaskans know that. We have a $4 billion deficit, and likely to face one just as large in the next fiscal year. State budget reserves should be used to aid in the transition to a sustainable budget. A sustainable budget should match spending levels to long-term revenues. It actually sickens me that topics such as lucrative pay increases to certain state union members and Medicaid expansion has even been a discussion this year. Alaska cannot afford such actions. The majority of Alaskans support reducing government spending. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. If you'd like to, any written testimony to that, legal staff will get copies to everybody. Krista Von Berger.
Thank you, Chair Newman. For the record, my name is Krista Von Bergen. As you are all well aware, over the next 2 years, we face a deficit of $8 billion. In light of the recent decline in revenue, postponing the difficult cuts and ignoring the state spending problem will only plunge Alaska deeper into the fiscal crisis we currently face. It is critical that the savings we have available is used wisely as we transition to a more sustainable budget. I wish to see a future of prosperity and opportunity for the generations to come. This is simply not the time to rapidly deplete our savings with pay increases to government employees and the expansion of an already unsustainable Medicaid system. I stand with the majority of Alaskans when I ask you to produce a significantly reduced budget prior to the discussion of raising taxes on businesses and hardworking Alaskans throughout this great state. Thank you for your work.
If you'd give that to him and let him make copies.
Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
That does end public testimony for today. That's 82 people that we're able to hear from today. If other folks would like to send in testimony, you can send it to lhscfin@akleg.gov or Representative Thompson and myself, Representative Newman. We do not have a meeting scheduled for finance at this time. The floor will be at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you, members, for your attendance. We're adjourned for the day.